This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki on TSN 1290 with you, and we welcome everybody into the program. Lots to kick off your weekend with you. Lots of hockey, lots of football, some golf, everything and anything that's going on. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good, man. Last night was one of those nights where you couldn't have enough TVs in front of you to follow all the things that were going on. It was awesome.
Funny you should mention that. I was at the Canadian Brew House doing NFL Thursday, and I think maybe three people were watching that because there was the Jays, there was the Jets, there was the World Cup of Hockey, and there was Thursday Night Football.
It's heaven, isn't it?
And they have a ton of TVs in there, and I literally was watching everything at once.
Yeah,
I love nights like that, man. It was awesome. So we want to, first of all, kick off the show and let everybody know to check out iHeartRadio. It's a brand new way to listen to your favorite radio stations, including this one right here, TSN 1290, a revolution in music, listening with over 210 channels of music, absolutely free. It's everything and anything you want from your radio. Download the free app today, iHeartRadio. It was an exciting game, and most people glued to the Jets game, of course, with an eye on it. And the World Cup of Hockey final, probably in the last 3 minutes, is when they started watching that more intently. But we'll start with the Winnipeg Jets, of course, a 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild. And, gentlemen, to me, it looked like the kids are okay. They're all right.
Yeah, a bit of a rough, just not a rough start, but a slow start. I didn't think during the course of that first period there where the Jets were getting outshot, I think 10-1 at one point, I didn't think that the Wild were imposing their will, and it was just an overwhelming sort of a thing. It was just more that, really from both ends of the ice, that not much was going on. But by and large, like, Josh Morrissey looked good yesterday. He just flat out looked good. There was a number of times, super nifty exit passes out of the defensive zone. One that was a beauty pass, a quick turnaround spin, hits at Marco Dano deep in the neutral zone to get out quick. I thought Josh Morrissey looked very comfortable with Tyler Myers, and last night has a lot of people thinking that he may well have the capacity to step up here and fill that void by Jacob Trouba. Kyle Connor looked pretty good. That real nice shot on his goal from a remarkable pass from Stewie, and a number of real nice feeds during the course of the game. I thought he out there looked capable. It looks like he could very well fit into that third row line. And then outside of that pass to Connor, I thought Stewie had a real rough go. There were four definite giveaways in the first period. There was one time when he had a man up against the wall, guy got away from him, and led to a great scoring chance. And there was also another time where he had three or four steps on Schroeder for the Wild. The puck was in the defensive zone. They were just coming through the neutral zone, back into the defensive zone, and Schroeder was the speed element of Stewie and the limitations of it, as Schroeder caught him in a very short period of time with a bunch of three, four steps on him, man, was really concerning. But also, it's so neat watching Connor Hellebuck play in goal. Stylistically, it's so incredibly different from Pav. And, you know, to see that again last night after not seeing it for an off season here, how much more compact, composed, and just neat and contained that Connor Hellebuck is with his style, along the lines of, he always reminds me a little bit of Luongo, the way he plays. Just everything's where he's supposed to be. He looked really good last night as well.
Hellebuck almost looks like you wake him up with a shot.
I was just going to say.
He's so, like, just silent, I call him. A silent goaltender that just wakes up, makes a save, and then sort of goes back to his slumber.
Like, you got to get a couple of smelling salts out there just to kind of make sure that he's still not in a comatose state inside the crease.
28 shots, 27 saves.
Yeah, he's fun to watch in a different sense than a Jonathan Quick or even a Marc-Andre Fleury, right?
Even Pav.
Yeah.
From a sheer entertainment.
Yeah, right? Like, the athletic, not that he's not athletic, right? But he doesn't rely on it. He just kind of stays in the blue paint, and hey, if you're going to hit the post and score, you're going to hit the post and score. That's just kind of how he plays the game, which I think a lot of Jets fans will have kind of a welcome arms when they see that throughout the season here. And I think the way that they ran their goaltending yesterday proves that it will be Pavlik Hellebuyck. I don't think there's any debate anymore. Mm-hmm. Because if you had any sort of inkling about, well, maybe we don't know about Hutch yet, he would have played a bit last night. The fact that he didn't play, I think if I'm a Jets fan, I'll keep my eye on at around noon today when waivers start for the first time in the NHL. I don't know, Eastern, whatever, but this afternoon, I keep an eye out on Hutch if he makes his way down early in camp here.
Really, without even getting a game, think he's going to
I think he had his chance Tuesday night to get a game in, and unfortunately he
takes
gets that
puck off the knee.
Right? Like, that would have been his one chance to maybe make a bit of a statement, but I think now it's kind of set in stone. But in terms of who stood out there, Kyle Connor looked, that first period and even a bit of the second, it looked like a bit of a deer in the headlights. A bit of, ooh, this is a lot faster than back in Michigan. But you could see him get comfortable as the game went on. And by the time the third period rolled around, I mean, he was one of the more dynamic players out there on the ice. And it wasn't, to me, it's not even the shot and the speed. He's one hell of a playmaker.
Oh, like, yeah.
There was one really rush you know, the defender's kind of coming in on him. He just waits, suckers him in. And then a little toe drag feed out to, I believe it was Bermy out in the slot. It was one of the Jets forwards. And just a prime Bermy, scoring chance there. So he didn't look out of place once he got comfortable, so that was a really good sign. Nikolai Ehlers, once he kind of got his hands back, I mean, he
was funny early on, right? It was, and I heard a little bit of the broadcast with Edmonds and Munzee, and it was funny. They were saying that his skates were just way in front of his hands, like he looked a little bit Bambi, like he was just getting re-acclimated to what was going on, right?
Yeah,
but he settled in. Yeah,
as skilled as Ehlers is, his speed is just deadly.
Yeah, it's
like
very,
where do you see wraparound goals anymore? And how many does he have in the National Hockey League?
Well, but actually, since they've made the net not as deep, I thought that from last year we were seeing way more wraparound attempts than before, right? Because you don't have to as much to go around.
And you could see Kemper too, right? When Ehlers kind of faked the shot, and it was like, I guess I'll move over, even though you kind of know it's done at that point, but. I thought for the most part after the first period, it was pretty solid for a lot of the guys. I think Morrissey was a lot more, he jumped out a lot more at least.
Absolutely.
I was kind of waiting to see him stand out amongst the other players, and I thought this was the first time I've watched him at least where it was, ooh, that's a nice pass. Ooh, he moves really well with the puck, so that was good for him. And you know what? He's kind of turning into my boy, but I liked Marco Dano's game. And I think when he plays with better line mates, you'll see a bit more of what he does out there kind of show a little more evidently, because he makes just a ton of really smart little plays in terms of body positioning, in terms of where he passes the puck and where he moves it. But if he's not with other smart, skilled players, it kind of goes a bit unnoticed. Plus, he also had the greatest goalie hit of all time. Where I still, like, they're kind of like, well, maybe he was looking down and maybe he just kind of got lost with the puck. He is literally staring at Darcy Kemper as he skates full speed.
Maybe
and
he just
blasts
ran him.
He ran. Oh, yeah. That was pure dub.
Was really weird is that there wasn't much response. Now, ref got in there right away, but still, the Wild didn't do anything about it. It was a pretty good jack, and I like it. Like, you leave the blue paint, I think a goalie should be live. I think it would make the game way more interesting. And, you know, as far as goalies going to get the puck, like, just stay in the blue paint if you don't want to be live, right? But Kemper was kind of messing with, like, he was struggling to control the puck trying to find it, and it was sort of within his skates. I didn't have a problem with the play, but the lack of response was weird.
Play the puck like a defenseman, get hit like a defenseman.
Absolutely, man.
My thoughts on that. But I like that, too, what you said. Was he looking down? Did he catch an edge? No, he just ran him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuses that can get you around that. We're going to touch on Morrissey, of course. And, you know, it's funny because the first period wasn't very good at all, and they couldn't garner any offense. To me, that's what preseason is. Like, when we analyze these preseason games, I think it's more about individuals. I don't think
Absolutely.
The final score is important. Obviously you want to see more offense, more shots on net, but it's preseason, and I thought that's the way the game went, because the second and third, like, most of these guys are in it. You look at the lineup Minnesota had, you look at the lineup the Jets had, and everybody's like, where's the offense, where's this, where's that? Well, it's a lot of these guys are first game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brian Little's first game since February.
and no, who watched him? Like, no, it's interesting. I was there with a buddy last night, and he's like, "Hey, did you see Dumba on the ice after in the first intermission?" I was like, "Well, I know he's dressed, but I'm not even watching the Wild." And when a guy like Brian Little is out there on an exhibition game, who the heck's watching him? It's not like there's no reason to watch him. You know where he's going to be when the season opens up, right? So, I thought Tanev looked pretty good again, as well. He didn't pop off the ice to the same degree, but watching him pick up things defensively and the grindiness of his game, I thought he looked really strong out there, further solidifying the possibility of him staying.
And Perreault got banged up there, but I thought it was clear last night that how important he is to this team, whether it's on the wing, whether it's on the center, because he can play with anybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guy that you need, you know, just to not only move up and down the lines, but just to get him with different people. Like, if somebody's struggling, get him on a line with Perreault maybe for three or four games. If somebody's, you know, doing well, get him on a line with Perreault and they'll do better. It's he's sort of that guy that every team needs, that he's so versatile, but he's so important because he just seems to play well with guys.
Just hope that he stays healthy, right?
Like, well, that's the one thing with him. Yeah. He kind of misses 20. You almost pencil him in for 20 games missed, unfortunately, there, right? And that's just, that hit last night is just big guy hits little guy. Like, I don't even think Gabriel knew there was anybody there. He just kind of like spun and
I thought the same forward. with the hit with Ehlers. Like, I didn't think it was not nothing vicious or anything like that. And Ehlers kind of crouched. The motion he was making to the Jets bench as he left where Ehlers went down, I thought it was a similar type of a thing. But yeah, the Matthew Perreault thing, like you're saying, the 20 games, basically take 20 games away from the schedule. You know that you're going to have to fill a role for him for a little while.
Connor Hellebuyck, 27 saves on 28 shots, .964 save percentage in last night's game. We'll get into the defense overall, but Josh Morrissey, 2 assists, 18.08 of game or on ice time, .338 on the power play, none shorthanded. And when people ask, and they've been doing it this week, and especially on Twitter about Josh Morrissey and can he make it, and all, I keep telling him all the time, he's such an intelligent human being. Like, he's 1,000 times smarter than a lot of people, myself. He's just a smart, bright individual. And we'll run this clip that Brandon has from him post-game, too. When people say, well, what do you mean he's smart? Is he hockey smart? He's just intelligent. Listen to this assessment of his own game.
I definitely felt more comfortable. I really liked my first period. Second period, I kind of stopped moving my feet. That's when I'm moving my feet, I'm usually making good plays. And then again in the third, I like my third also, you know, one flipped over the glass there. But other than that, I think it was pretty good.
So there's like a player's self-assessment. Like, when the last time you hear that from a player that just, you know, they know what they did right, they know what they did wrong, but to actually vocalize it or verbalize it, I should say, and just literally get into it that in detail. Like, he's just a smart guy.
I don't think it was all that unusual what he said, but I appreciate the man crush and the gush part here that you're bringing to the table.
Are you kidding me? When was the last time somebody sat down and he said, well, the first period for myself wasn't very good or this or the, or, and then he said, oh, the puck over the glass. I felt like I got my feet in the second period. This, like, he just literally in a 20-second clip broke down his whole game.
Yeah. As opposed to a guy like maybe Hellebuyck who will just give you it. Yeah. Yeah, he describes it well there, but it's just kind of cute the way you're presenting it, man.
There's a couple other clips of him where there's a really interesting where he talks about how playing physical helps him.
That's that's something I wanted to bring up for everyone out there. So they can't have Morrissey and Enstrom on the same lineup, the same size, and they are nowhere near the same style of player, man. Morrissey is completely will engage players physically, and I remember when they drafted him, one of the positives of him is that he's really strong balance, and anyone that plays know, like, that's almost like adding 20 pounds to your frame, right? If you got wicked balance, notable balance, you can go mess it up with guys that weigh considerably more than you, and last night you saw him doing that.
Well, and to my point about what just a smart individual he is watching him with the Moose last year. Like, there was a game where, you know, he wasn't very physical for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I believe it was against Grand Rapids. He absolutely tattooed a guy at the blue line just by the angle. And, like, he doesn't just hit to hit. He knows the angles. He understands it. He's just a smart young kid. And I thought he had a very good game last night. The other one we wanted to talk about or hear from was Connor Hellebuyck. And Paul Wiesek from the Winnipeg Free Press asked him straight out after the game last night, 27 saves, .964 save percentage, if he can actually win the number one job in training camp.
Oh, that's not a question for me. I'm just going to go out and do my best and let the process take place.
I get a kick when media ask questions like that, and they know damn well the player can't answer that, right? So he
one in a million, they might get one.
Yeah, one, and boy, if you answer that question honestly, what a number two storm that would create.
Well, not really, because he could sit there and he goes, "Well, I do believe I could win it, but that's up to the coaching staff." Like that's how you'd that's what I would expect.
Yeah.
Like I mean,
it's a bit of a bait question though to stir it up a little bit.
Well,
I think,
yeah,
right?
He could. You're right. Go down the path and say, "Yeah, I'm gonna win. I'm good, and I'm the best goalie here." He's not gonna go down that path. But he's calling out the Chiefs. He could have sat there and go, "Well, I do believe it's up for grabs. That's why you have training camp, and you know the coaches will decide. But I believe I can win it." But so it gets very interesting going forward. And of course, there is a game tonight. It is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. The Edmonton Oilers are back in town. Patrick Laine is expected to get into the lineup. So I know a lot of Winnipeg Jets fans are waiting and excited for that.
Saw some jerseys walking around last night already with the 2-9 on the back. A little bit of Laine.
Really?
Yeah. And boy, you know what, man? I saw a lot of those Heritage Classic jerseys. And for the love of God, are they beautiful.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting because at the Canadian Brewhouse last night for NFL Thursday night, everybody was watching the game, and there was a guy in there with a Heritage Classic Dustin Byfuglien jersey.
Yeah.
And so that's I saw him at Royal Sports on the rack and stuff, but when you see them, the guy actually said
to
me, he goes,
"Gorgeous.
I think I could wear this at a dress up event."
Yeah. The attention to detail.
Like, what? He goes, "Well, I'd never wear a jersey to a wedding, but I think I could this one."
People
and
were
I'm like,
raving
"You're right,
about,
it's kind of fancy."
People raving about the stitching and.
Yeah.
I saw one Hedberg last night, man, and I might go get me a Hedberg. It looks, you could go 1.0 or current with them. They are just so doggone beautiful.
Yeah, if Jets Gear or any other store is listening and just wants to hook a couple brothers up here, be more than glad to showcase them off. I feel like if I bought the jersey, I'd have to buy some form of red pants. Royal Sports.
You know what?
Listening, but if I'm getting the jersey, I'm buying red pants too. You got to go full out if you're wearing the combo.
I happen to have a pair of red pants from Jets 1.0, and I'm thinking the same thing, man. I go do some
How'd
of the pickups. That's a bit of a story, but I got them.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
They're
How'd
a beauty.
You get those?
I can't reveal sources.
Tell
or
me somebody
like that.
Threw them on a table at a card game at 4 a.m.
that's a beauty.
Tell
yeah,
me.
No,
tell me.
Like
let's
that, no.
Let's guess which Jet it was. I'm on. The Jets were 58% in the faceoff circle, 1-for-4 in the power play, handed 23 hits, 20 for the Wild, so that always dictates a little bit of who had the puck. 13 block shots for the Jets, 7 for the Wild, and each team had 28 shots on goal. So overall, the Winnipeg Jets get their first win of the preseason, 4-1. And they'll host the Edmonton Oilers tonight, as it is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. So we will have your full coverage once again starting at 3 o'clock with Hustler and Lawless at Boston Pizza. Live, I should say, from Boston Pizza City Place. Then the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show with Mr. Rick Ralph at 6 o'clock. And stay tuned for the Huron Windows postgame show as well. I was listening to some of the postgame show last night, and it's interesting how people were assessing the and again, that's what I thought about this game last night. Like, a lot of people harping on the first period, and I get that, but it's preseason, and for many of these guys, their first game of the preseason. So to me, it's more dictative of how they started the first, but then the second got a little better. And I thought the kids looked okay. I'm not saying they all are great and the future is all this and that. I just thought that, you know, as the game wore on, I thought the young kids that, and we're calling them kids, but the Tanevs, the Cops,
kids.
Dano, kids, I thought they showed well last night, Morrissey. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, there was another hockey game last night. Canada won a World Cup. And the celebration was weird. That's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show Podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
The kids are all right.
Indeed they are.
Sometimes in radio everything works out. The segues. Back on The Big Show, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruicki, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. And I was also last night amazed that Team Europe was on the brink of handing one to Canada.
And then the last 3 minutes happened. Patrice Bergeron scored at the 17:07 mark. And then Brad Marchand shorthanded on a setup from Jonathan Toews. Just a beautiful gain the zone, go across the middle, nice drop pass. And an excellent shot by Marchand to beat Halak. And that came with less than a minute to go at the 19:16 mark. And Canada wins the World Cup. And I thought the celebration, well, I'll get into that in a minute, but obviously good for Canada, but it was never in doubt until the second period ended, and then it was in very much doubt with it, what this Team Europe was doing under Ralph Kruger and Paul Maurice. Very good showing by them last night. I thought they impressed and probably were the surprise. I mean, we talk about Team North America, but the surprise team that wasn't expected to do anything to not only get to the final, but then in Game 2 actually be up 1-0 with 3 minutes to go in the third period. And then Canada poured it on. And I was listening to Bob McKenzie this morning as well. And he said, honestly, Team Europe was a better team. They played the better game in Game 1 and Game 2. They outplayed Canada and had a great game plan. It's just that Canada's Canada and they find a way in the end.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, to say that Europe outplayed Canada in the first, maybe. I was really kind of mystified if people made it sound like Carey Price had to steal that first game. But nonetheless, this is the way Europe could win here. Really, this is the only way, right? You get that first goal, and then you just hang on for dear life and try and clog things up and hope that you can keep Canada at bay. Even if you didn't watch much of this game at all, and if you just saw the final 5 minutes, and I wonder what the ratings bump was, because I think people right across the board were checking their apps or asking what the score, finding what the score is. 1-0 for Europe, what the heck? And then after two, like you said, 1-0. And then as the time's ticking down, right, start the period, 10 minutes left, 5 minutes left, I would assume at about that 5 minutes left with Europe up 1-0 that there was a bit of a ratings bump. And then what a fantastic finish, like you said. It was very thankful, right? We get Coach Maurice back, Canada wins, and it was a little bit strange, like you said, the whole situation with the trophy and the almost anticlimactic part of it, them winning something that everybody in the world knew they were going
to
win.
And not only that, they just seemed to me Team Canada didn't know how to handle it. I mean, they skate with it, but they don't go for a skate. They literally do a little turn and come back. Mm-hmm. It's you know, they're holding it up like the Stanley Cup, but it's not. And then the weird celebration was going into the room, and they have all the things, you know, saran wrapped and taped up for this big celebration. And it's just a bunch of guys hanging out having a beer. Nobody's throwing beer around. Nobody's going crazy. It's just guys leaning on tables having a beer, literally going, "You want another one? I guess one more, and then we got to go to training camp."
Yeah,
like it was the weird
the whole thing,
celebration.
Right?
It wasn't like a world championship. It wasn't like the Olympics. It wasn't like it just. And again, I don't know what I expected, but guys were just seemed to think like, "Yeah, no, this was great, and we won something." And have
I think you've
got to
keep
later.
It tempered, though, right? Like, it's not like they're going after
well,
that to party
starts,
their butts
yeah.
off, yeah, that last night or anything like that. Or there's not going to be a bender, like a weak bender or anything here. Everyone's on planes pretty much right now heading back to their
it's
teams.
It's not going
to
be the Chris Draper who was literally picked up on the curb outside a bar for the parade?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Drapes. So we'll talk some Bombers and Eskimos next on the Big Show as we continue to set up some game days here. And of course, it is a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Edmonton Oilers are in town. Jets are 1-1 in the preseason on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki with you this fine Friday morning. A big sports day here in the Peg. And TSN 1290 is an iHeart radio station. We're bringing a series of big and small events with artists to Canada, giving fans experience money can't buy. It's going to change the way you listen to radio forever. Download the free app today, iHeart Radio. Winnipeg Blue Bombers are hosting the Edmonton Eskimos, their first game after that 36-34 last second, well, no time left on the clock, defeat to Calgary in McMahon Stadium last Saturday. The Bombers are bringing the Eskimos to town, Mike Riley and their crew. Up and down season so far, back and forth, but another big week for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, of course, waiting to hear on some injuries and who will go. The lineup or the roster card came out yesterday. And, of course, Johnny Adams was sent to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We talked extensively about his game on Saturday and really his struggles this season. And Mike O'Shea, the head coach of your Winnipeg Blue Bombers, was asked about the Johnny Adams trade yesterday by the media. And keep in mind, Johnny Adams was a CFL West All-Star last year. So here's O'Shea on the Adams trade.
I mean, he's a good football player that wasn't going to be on our roster this week because Terrence Frederick has earned an opportunity to play. I mean, he's played well when he's gotten in there for us before, made some big plays for us. So, you know, when you have depth, you know, you need to make decisions on your lineup on a pretty well weekly basis to give you a good chance, the best chance you can, you think, to beat the opponent you're playing.
So there is head coach Mike O'Shea on the Johnny Adams trade. And really, it speaks to the depth this team has brought in as well. And Johnny just couldn't get it going. And I also heard some other comments from Paul or Mike O'Shea about Johnny Adams and mentioning the fact that when you miss training camp, these are the kinds of seasons you have that, you know, you use training camp to get your body right, to get ready for the season, get prepared. And it just seems like Johnny was behind the eight ball being banged up in training camp. And then once the season started, and maybe touch on that a little bit about how if you don't get that preseason in and you don't, you know, get that camp in, how you're sort of a little bit behind physically or developing your body sense into game action as the season goes on.
Yeah, you know why I'm not willing to buy that reason? And I know, like, I understand training camp gets guys back and it sort of just sharpens everything in time for the opening season. But the not being sharp or not being maybe game ready, to me, that certainly doesn't explain what we witnessed last week on those two plays. The rushing play by Messon for a touchdown that I've referenced a bunch with Johnny Adams where he just olays him. Like, he has an absolute opportunity to engage Messon physically before he crosses the goal line, and he literally bounces outside a little bit and hops a couple times as he crosses. It was a remarkable play. That alone was remarkable. And then everything compounded itself on that fumble where Johnny Adams makes no attempt on the ball there. It almost, to me, was like, guys, and I've seen this happen a lot of times, where you have success one year, you come out the next year, and for whatever reason, with him, the injury, other things going on in his life, just a lack of bite and dedication to your craft, and then you come out and you're just not as emotionally involved. And like, to me, it's not that he was lacking a sharpness that you can gather and hone during training camp to come out and play sharp. He was lacking heart, like some level of interest even. That can only be, to me, what defines a guy on the field that commits those football-type sins that we saw during the game. Those are the kind of plays that really make guys really start to question in a hurry when you're watching game film together and they see something like that, right? It's remarkable the impact that has, I think, on a team watching game film. So it has nothing to do with not being sharp, but it was, to me, something related to his heart. I'm not sure what it was.
One of our callers referenced it as the Couchy Muwamba syndrome.
Yes.
You know what I think it is? I think it's a guy who has one eye on the NFL, and it's a guy who made 100 business decisions during the game. Because he looked like somebody who didn't want to injure himself.
Yeah, but brother, if you've got an eye on the NFL, you are tuned in and wicked razor sharp, right? You know, you're not making mistakes like that.
Those plays there, though, not jumping on the ball. Why don't you, like, why didn't Cam Newton jump on the ball in the Super Bowl? Doesn't want to get hurt.
He had his eye on the CFL.
Yeah. Well, and like, why don't you make a tackle on Messon? Or even if you don't tackle him, whatever. The guy's got 50, 60 pounds on you, whatever it is, right?
But go wrap him up.
Get your nose
right
in there. Yeah. Like, if you go in low on him and he runs you over, he runs you over. You move on to the next play. But to just kind of give him a free pass into the end zone there, there's obviously some sort of drive that's missing in you, some sort of competitive fire that you're not willing to show out there. And I didn't notice that at all. It's not like last year it was, well, you know, he's a great cover guy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the run game, he's more Deion Sanders than Troy Polamalu, right? Like, he's not going to get in there. He's just going to kind of make a couple of business decisions and be on his way there. But there was nothing of that.
When guys are locked in for that and that opportunity that every single player in the CFL dreams about playing in the NFL, if he's there mentally and that's his driving, he's going to be wicked razor sharp, and he's not going to hesitate on plays like that. I don't know. It was strange, but really interesting how the level of, I think, basic disgust that coaches or players would have watching that on game film, and then he gets shipped out that quickly. You wonder if they were trying to move him before that game or if that game was just like, I would assume, knowing Mike O'Shea a little bit and the fire that he plays with, like I said, revolting, I think was a term. Like, yeah. That is an absolute unacceptable lack of action by him on both those plays, and I wouldn't have been surprised at all if they weren't considering moving him, and then those two plays happen, and it's just like, bam, drops down, gone out of here. That's if I would want nothing to do with a player whose heart is in a place where that's what he brings to the field.
Well, whether it was injuries or, you know, the eye in the NFL or whatever it was, the other thing that hurt Johnny Adams was just how good he was last year. And just if it was the camp injury and the struggling or you know, maybe he didn't want to do that because he was banged up. I don't know. But I like what Mike O'Shea said about him because he is a good football player. But I also agree with your assessment like that. Mike O'Shea was the kind of player that if he saw that from a teammate, it would not go over well. And they stepped up and made a trade and brought in McKay, who's the big receiver, negotiation list for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, cut by the Colts.
Now, we talked a little bit. Somebody called and said, hey, what do you know about this McKay? And his, I heard Bauman say he was 6'5". He's listed at 6'4", from what I saw, 210 or 215. And what he's known for is he can go up and really athletic in the air. Like, he'll go up and get the ball, very aggressive to the ball, and a very strong blocker as well. So the kind of skill set here that I think the Bombers coaching staff would be drooling about if they can get him here.
Yeah, I read his combine report or scouting report on NFL, from the NFL too, and they said he doesn't run his routes very clean or crisp and turn, but he's just a big body receiver who can go up and get the ball and do well blocking. You're listening to The Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, as we continue to tee up this Bombers and Eskimos game tonight. And of course, the injuries is another big thing. It looks like linebacker Ian Wild will be back in the lineup this weekend, or tonight, I should say, against the Edmonton Eskimos. But Andrew Harris and Quincy McDuffie look to be out. Harris has an ankle injury, McDuffie an upper body. And head coach Mike O'Shea was asked how close Andrew Harris is to getting back into the lineup.
Yeah, just not quite. I mean, he'll work out probably tomorrow again and see how it goes. But Timothy's done really well. I said it's a real credit to his ability to stay engaged when he was not on the roster, not up playing.
And that's another aspect of the depth where you can sort of rest Harris as you push to trying to secure a playoff spot, that if he's not 100%, sounds like he could probably go on an ankle, but if you're 90% and you have Flanders doing what he's doing, might as well give him another week of rest and get him totally healthy.
Yeah, but if you're Andrew Harris, I don't know, you know, I can't speak for how he feels, but I know for me, I'd be, and most guys I know in the locker room, be looking at this guy being pretty productive. And if, for instance, if Timothy Flanders goes out and runs for 95 yards and has 40 yards receiving again, you know, puts together a real nice all-purpose yard sort of package together, 130, 140 yards, if he furthers what he's done up to this point in time in the last couple of games, you just kind of wonder, like, he can make it difficult for them to go back to Andrew Harris. So I don't think Andrew Harris is all that crazy about sitting out watching at this point in time. And it's going to be very interesting once he is healthy, if Timothy Flanders continues playing at this level, what they do.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up the great point. The best player is going to play. Not that Andrew Harris has any. I mean, Harris is going to get back in there and he's going to get a couple games and then, you know, if he performs well, but you're right. I mean, if he has to perform well again, but you expect that from a veteran like him.
Yeah, well, and some, hey, man, all kinds of guys, everybody knows, you lose your job. If you get hurt, you allow someone else to audition for your job, and the Bombers are flexible enough right now with being able to have a Canadian receiver in and feel Fioli Godino had a good game and a very important catch. So if they're comfortable with the way things are set up there, it makes any player nervous sitting on the sideline watching someone else do your job.
Well, especially because very well. And if Harris is dealing with an ankle injury, if anyone's ever had a sprained ankle, rolled ankle, his whole season, he will not be anywhere close to 100%. There's no argument about it. You need a good 3-4 weeks off it, in terms of just not playing, but just not doing anything, for it to actually properly heal. So he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the season. And Flanders kind of comes in mid-year, and he's fresh. he's fresher than a lot of guys in the league right now. So,
and there's such different, like the difference
yeah,
of
the
running
slash,
styles,
right? The slash
thunder and lightning. Yeah. Everybody loves to call running backs thunder and lightning.
And sometimes certain guys mesh well with certain O-lines, right? Like there's just, there's different style of O-lines in terms of how they run block. And if it kind of ends up being here where Flanders is kind of this one cut up the hole and away he goes, you know, that works really well with how this O-line blocks in terms of Andrew Harris, who's just more of a, not necessarily just a straight-ahead masher type guy.
He is,
but
though. He's like
he's
a power
back.
Back.
Right?
He's kind of like a smaller Jerome Messam in a style, man, right? Where it's he can come hit him, and he'll keep it a little bit more north-south, and he'll drag you for 2-3 yards, and he will probably levy most of the physicality when he's getting tackled sort of thing. But very different running styles, and boy, you just wonder if Timothy Flanders goes and pulls this off again, it makes for an interesting debate going forward.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean, you said it, Troy. It'll be interesting to see what he can do tonight against the Eskimos to push his own cause. It is Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day as we have clean line Winnipeg Jets hockey on TSN 1290. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers are in town. Husser and Lawless will kick it off live from Boston Pizza City Place. And Darren Bombing and Troy Westwood will be a big part of that as well as they interact and set up their Manuk Dencher pregame show for the Bombers and Eskimos, and also the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show with Rick Ralph starting at 6 o'clock from Boston Pizza City Place as well. The Jets coming off a 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild last night, their first preseason win in just their second game. Matthew Perreault, a goal and assist, and did leave after he got injured on a collision with a Minnesota Wild player. Kyle Connor got his first goal for the Winnipeg Jets in the preseason. From Stewart and Perreault, it was one of Perreault's assists. Nikolai Ehlers, Andrew Kopp also had goals. Josh Morrissey had two assists. And Kopp's goal was a deflection off a point shot from Churchman, who played with Bridgeport last year. And Churchman is spelled C-Z-U-C-Z-M-A-N. I was calling him Kuzman yesterday, and I'm like, I don't remember a Kuzman on the Bridgeport last year, but I remember this guy. Like, I remember the player. And then I heard Rick Ralph talking about it, and it's like, oh, that's the guy with the two Z's whose name is actually Churchman.
And then we get, of course, the obligatory basic weekly email from the one and only Brian Munns making sure that we're all saying the names correctly. Yeah. And they get less and less polite as the season goes on.
It was the weekly gentle reminder of you guys are idiots and you can't pronounce anything. Yeah. I think
Churchman. How do you get Churchman
out of that?
I think
Churchman was in the 2016 Scripps Spelling Bee. Or you have to get, you know, you have to get the origin of the name right and everything, and even they couldn't spell it right there.
You know, it's so funny when we're writing down the lineup with the Jets. I don't even write his real name. I just write down Churchman. I
mean,
you see his real name, and how in the world do you get Churchman out of that? Are you kidding me?
Thank goodness we got a Churchman on the team. There we go. So far, anyways, it is like I said, Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day, Oilers and Jets tonight, and also the Manuk Dencher pregame show will be a part of it with Troy Westwood and Darren Bombing as the Bombers host the Eskimos. The Blue Jays are struggling. They're in trouble. That's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Your chance to qualify, as you just heard, is coming up at 7:15, 12:15, and 5:15 today. And because it is Friday, Husser and Lawless will announce one of the winners and get some tickets out to the Heritage Classic at 5:30 on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Also want to let you know that TSN 1290 is giving one winner the chance to dude up their dream dwelling in a major way with the Man Cave. We're not renovating your basement. We're going to menovate it with some glorious upgrades, including a Jet foosball table from Avo Game Room, an Xbox console, and a copy of EA Sports' new NHL 17 from PMP Games, a Burton Ripcord snowboard with Burton Freestyle bindings from Alter Ego Sports, a Frigidaire mini beverage center from Stalwart Appliances, a pizza party for up to 20 people hosted and catered by Boston Pizza, various sports swag from Royal Sports, and a wealth of delicious sausage rings provided by Winkler Meats. You may need a bigger man cave for all this stuff. Visit tsn1290.ca and enter for your chance to win the whole shebang now until Thursday, November 3rd. The winner will be revealed Friday, November 4th with The Big Show. Jim Tilth, Troy Wester, Brandon Ruwicki with you. Plenty of more analysis coming up on the Jets' 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild and the great turnaround today as it is Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. The Edmonton Oilers are in town as the Jets get set for their third preseason game of the season, the third of seven. And Mr. Paul Maurice is on his way back after Team Europe had a heartbreaker to Canada last night. But, boys, we've got to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. They're now, even after a 4-0 loss to the Baltimore Orioles, dead tied with the wild card spot, a game with Baltimore. Both teams are a game and a half up on Detroit, two games up on Seattle, and four games up on Houston and the New York Yankees, with basically the weekend to go here as they head to Boston. The bats have gone silent. And in fact, Marcus Stroman took the loss last night, and he is winless in his last eight games. In those eight games, the Jays have only scored 18 runs for Marcus Stroman, and eight runs came in one game in one of those losses for Stroman. So the bats have gone silent at the worst time of the year for the Toronto Blue Jays. They head into Boston for a series tonight, three games to go. They get this done?
Well, yeah. How many question marks were at the end of that question?
Like, did you see how my voice went up?
If you're typing that, maybe that's four, six sort of question marks. Everybody's nervous. And you're talking about the bats getting cold. Three hits last night, and it's right there. Like, they've only had four games, two hits, and three games they've had three hits. And when they needed it most last night, that's in a situation here where they just kind of leave Stroman out to dry like that. Flip a coin. Are they going to get it done? Who knows? I suppose if, you know, for all the Blue Jays fans, and we heard this debate at the early part of September, where it's so many years had gone by previous to last year where the Blue Jays baseball in September was almost meaningless and everybody wanted meaningful September baseball. Well, how about this for the height and the apex of meaningful baseball at the end of September, early October? Boy, and just scoreboard watching like the Dickens here. So it's going to be, whether they make it or not, boys, it's going to be a bunch of fun to watch us.
I miss 500 baseball. I can't handle this garbage. And I'm obviously kidding, but I think they get it done still, if you mean getting into the playoffs here.
Yeah, just they're a game and a half up on Detroit. They got three games to go. So basically, they would have to...
I think if they win two, they're in.
Detroit wins three, and Toronto loses two of the three. They could overtake Toronto. But if they get two... I mean, a game and a half up, yeah, it's a three-game swing.
Yeah, but like if they win and the Tigers lose, I mean, the Tigers do play the Braves, so that is basically, I mean, you want to talk about three games on the free spots on the bingo card. It's pretty close.
And you know Boston
that.
Will be resting guys, but loosey-goosey, that whole thing scares me the heck out of
and
me,
And
right?
The Orioles go into Yankee Stadium to play the Yankees, and that's not the best matchup in the world for them. The Yankees have been playing good baseball in the
you
second half.
You zip it with regard to the Orioles, okay? Because I've been sitting in this chair, man, since, I don't know, June, July, and the Orioles are crap. And as each month went by, they're going to die. Don't worry, they'll fall by the wayside. They're garbage. Here they are sniffing right here, man, sniffing.
There's loyal listener left. Corey was pointing out, though, that Boston might not rest guys because Texas is up on them by two games.
For the home field
throughout the playoffs.
I heard that.
So, but, good. You know, if Boston, say, drops a game or Texas wins one, they may start resting some guys. I mean, I think the Blue Jays get in. I think they get a playoff spot. But it's going to be so interesting. And it's just the bats are silent at the wrong time of the year. And the things that frustrate most people about Jose Bautista is what frustrates me now. The most important time of the year, now it's about the strike zone. Like, now it's about, like, just focus. Like, just, you know, I understand if it's a bad call, but not every pitch. The other night, he struck out. First pitch, third pitch, called strikes, and they were both in the pitch tracker. And he's losing his mind over it. And that's the issue I think a lot of people have with Jose Bautista that go, one, maybe, but this is not the time of the year to sort of be watching pitches come in and complaining about the strike zone. It's time to sort of actually do something and focus in.
At the plate is where he's at his best, right? At the plate is where I'm not going to complain about Jose Bautista. Once he starts to run or some of the things that goes on in the outfield, he's a guy, though, man. He's got to step up huge here. It's going to be fun.
Clean Line Winnipeg Jets hockey on TSN 1290 tonight as the Oilers are in town to take on the Winnipeg Jets. We'll analyze that and the win over the Wild coming up in the next hour. And Shane Knighty will join us. But up next, we'll talk about the Bombers and the Eskimos with Rod Black from TSN on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca is The Big Show.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
If you're going to have a power hour, you got to have some Metallica. It is the Mercedes-Benz Power Hour on The Big Show, TSN 1290, with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. We're going to continue to break down and grab you some audio from last night's Winnipeg Jets 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild in preseason action. They're back at it again today, as it is Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day. The Edmonton Oilers are in town. And TSN 1290 and all of your favorite music, your favorite stations, all at your fingertips anywhere you go. Pick the stations you want and listen anywhere, anytime. Download the free app today for iHeartRadio. TSN 1290 is an iHeartRadio station, and you get anything and everything right there on the app. So get that down on your phone as soon as possible. Winnipeg Blue Bombers are also hosting the Edmonton Eskimos tonight as they return to home action after that outstanding game in Calgary last weekend. Despite the loss, if you're a Blue Bomber fan, you had to like the game and the way the Bombers came back. They're 8-5. They welcome the Edmonton Eskimos into town, who are 6-7. They're two games up, and this is a big test for the Bombers to go forward in the standings and closer to solidifying a playoff berth. To talk about it with us from TSN and the CFL on TSN is Mr. Rod Black, a proud Winnipegger. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing great, thanks.
Excellent. Was that the game of the year between Calgary and Winnipeg? That seems to be the consensus.
Well, yeah, so far maybe. I think it was a game of September, certainly. I think we're going to have a few more of those. We've had some pretty good ones here and there, but yeah. I mean, I don't think... I mean, maybe it was the half game of the year. I don't think anybody would say that, you know, the way the Blue Bombers played in the, you know, certainly in the first quarter would have said that. But no, it certainly had a compelling ending. The Bombers showed great fight. And again, I think, you know, a lot of people would not have expected that maybe a month and a half ago from a team that had started like they had at 1-4. But I think, you know, the Bombers have truly climbed into contention as a contender.
Yeah, you know, you say the first quarter, brother. I think you're being pretty kind there to the Bombers.
Right.
For sure, the first half, yeah. Hey, I want to ask you, that really the story of the week here in the CFL, Kent Austin, I thought it was a flagrant, purposeful contact with the official, and then in my eyes, and I think in most CFL fans' eyes, Rod, just a real weak response by the CFL in not suspending him, allowing him to stay in the spotter's booth. Your thoughts on that whole thing?
Yeah, you know, Troy, I got it. It's funny. I've been, you know, monitoring what you know, all the analysts and commentators and everybody else had said, and I, you know, when I saw it at first, do I think that Kent Austin maliciously with intent, you know, came at an official? I would have to think that, you know, he's smarter than that. Kent's a fiery guy, as we know. You know, Kent, there's the Jekyll and Hyde Kent on the sideline, and unfortunately for Kent at the time, he got caught up in it again. I mean, here's the thing: it's not the first sideline incident for Kent Austin, and you know, one involving a player, this time involving an official. I think you have to err on the side of caution when you're a coach, when you're a player. You've been down there, you know. You go anywhere near an official, you better not be swinging anything. You better not be not yelling too loud. I mean, spit can come out of your mouth, anything. There's a really good chance that you can make contact with somebody in any way, shape, or form, and he did. Do I think he should be suspended? Yes, I think he should have been suspended for at least a game. But I got to tell you, I've been curious this season. I think the Daron Carter incident, which took a long, long time to adjudicate and appeal, I thought that reeks of some indecision, perhaps at the time. I thought the Daron Carter, you know, he still had to serve his game. I think if whatever comes down from the league, as an official, as the commissioner, as the board, you have to show force, and you have to say, hey, no, this is it. This is, you've been suspended. And I know the PA might say something about that, and I know they're talking about Rick Campbell being out in the field, but you got to be harder. And I just think that if you get one thing, it's one thing about players, it's another thing about officials, and you cannot touch an official, an umpire, anything in any sport. Even if the umpire is coming at you or the official is coming at you, we've seen that before. You worry that you might have some sort of dangerous precedent set, but it's a really interesting decision to have Kent Austin still coaching, to have him, you know, not on the sideline. But heck, Troy, you know, I mean, you can still coach. You don't have to be on the sideline.
You know, Rod, it brings up an interesting dilemma because I think everybody's a consensus, and I'm with you. What's the harm in giving him a game to stand up for your officials? And sort of lost in all of this is how the officials feel about this. Like, we talk if it was a player, the PA would get involved. What kind of message and how do the officials and who's leading them feel about this? They have to be disappointed in this decision.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, I think we've seen much harder stances taken by other leagues. I mean, if this was the National Hockey League, I don't want to go through all the incidents that have happened in the past, but it's certainly if anybody bumped an official like that or did anything, and again, whether he had an intent, and I just know Kent loses it sometimes, and you know he's not an unintelligent man. Kent's a very smart guy, but to just go wildly flailing at an official like that just says that you know you've lost control, and if you're going to do something like that. Should you be on the sideline? I agree. I'm going to be very interested. I've the games in Hamilton and Montreal this weekend. So, and I have a lot of friends in those circles. Even though that we bash the officials sometimes, you can't. Even though we can verbally bash them, it's enough to you can't physically touch them. You can't even be anywhere near them. And I can't think. I think about the NBA. You would never see something like that happen in the NBA. There would be again intent or not. It's like when people say, oh, my gosh, you know, I high-sticked the guy and I broke his nose. Oh, you know, I mean, it was just a wild swing. Guess what? It's still a penalty. It's still you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't have done anything. And it's the same thing in this incident. And it clearly caught on camera. I just think it looks bad. I think it looked bad from the beginning. I thought it looked bad for Kent. And I honestly did think that at least a game, we're talking at least a game. I think if this was baseball, we're talking like about 5-6 game suspension had you bumped an umpire. Again, Brett Laurie, when he went at the umpire that time, did Brett Laurie lost? Did he, you know, the helmet came bouncing back up. Did he intend to? No, but you lose it. And guess what? When you lose it in any sport, in any situation, if you lose it in life, if you have road rage in life, guess what? You have to pay the maker. And unfortunately, I think this time, I think the punishment does not fit the crime.
Rod, we know Jim Popp stepped down as head coach. Jacques Chapdelaine is in there for the time being. I saw a report stating that whether people think he's ready or not, that might be that the Owls are leaning towards Anthony Cavillo next year to be the head coach. I think as a quarterback with the legendary career that he had, a guy used to making game time decisions, a real smart individual, I think he can go in there and be successful out of the gate. A number of people feel differently. What do you think about that?
I guess, you know, I he's got enough smart people around him, Troy, that I think one thing about Anthony Calvillo, and everybody's seen it, is the guy is the biggest student of the game. He studies like nobody else. It made him... you know, the all-time passing leader. Not only is the all-time one of the greatest quarterbacks, he's one of the greatest learners in the game. I worry, though, that in Montreal, that Jim Popp, the general manager, might not give Anthony Calvillo, the head coach, enough in terms of talent. Because, you know, the good thing is that Jim Popp will step aside as coach, and he is a good general manager. We know that. Bottom line is, how many times have you looked at Anthony Calvillo on the sideline this season? And, you know, he's got that pencil in and he's got the glasses on. And he just, for some reason, he just does not look as comfortable as he should. And I think that's one of the reasons they're not giving it to him right now. I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's ready right now. Could he be ready next year? I think there's a very good chance. And I think they've surrounded himself with good people. Having said that, what if you're Noel Thorpe? What if you're Cavis Reed? These are guys who've been down there before. But Jim Popp's an outside-the-box thinker, and Robert Wettenhall, the owner there, is also a guy who rewards people. Look at what they do in Montreal with their legends, and Anthony Calvillo is a legend. Could it tarnish his legendary status as a great quarterback? Sure, everybody knows that. Could it tarnish Mike O'Shea's reputation as a great player in the CFL by not having success? Sure, that's the risk, but that's why they love to coach. I'm a little surprised that Calvillo has taken to coaching like he has, because I know that, you know, he wanted to spend time with the family. But, hey, you know, it's an addictive game. The sports is addictive. And once you're in, you're in. And they say that same thing about coaching, is that, you know, it's intoxicating. And I think that Anthony Calvillo still has it in him. If you can't play, you might as well coach. And if you can't coach, you might as well broadcast.
And if you can't broadcast, you might as well host a sports show.
And if you can't broadcast, well, then what are you going to do? I mean,
We're talking with Rod Black from the CFL on TSN. He's calling the Calgary-Hamilton game and Toronto-Montreal games this weekend on the network. And it's the big show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, Jim Toth, Brandon Rewicki, and Mr. Troy Westwood. Eskimos are in town. Rod, what are you expecting from this game tonight against the Bombers? And one thing that stands out to me about the Eskimos is 374 points for, 375 points against. They've been an odd team this year.
Yeah, I think if you look down the numbers for a lot of teams, those are the kind of numbers that we all look at right away and you kind of cringe. But I think that's not the Edmonton Eskimo team that you're seeing, and I think they are rounding into form. I think they're getting better as every week goes on. And, you know, you're Grey Cup champions for a reason, and I'm not saying that they're intentionally trying to go through the East, because I think that might be the path of least resistance for any team, is to try to cross over. We might see an all-West showdown in the Grey Cup this year. I still don't think that can happen, but I think the East is actually better than a lot of people give the East credit for. But I think Edmonton's a better team than that, and I think they had to go through a transition, and I think they're finding their way with Jason Moss at the helm. And, hey, you know, not having a Chris Jones and all of his guys and that defense around is certainly – I think it showed early on. I think you saw – plus they lost – by the way, you see some of the guys that they lost from last year, you know, that guys are in the NFL right now or elsewhere that were all-stars, that were leaders that brought them to the Grey Cup, because they led by their defense, I thought, in many ways before. But I think this is the time. And, you know, you can almost rewind this tape every year about teams that we're talking about. This is when you really peak. I find it like baseball. Like, everybody talks about baseball. I always say, don't walk into the playoffs, run into the playoffs. Peak towards the final month, the final games. Be ready. Don't go in there casually. You want to get on a roll, get on a roll now. So this is a game, if the Blue Bombers, I'm sure Mike O'Shea and the rest, and, you know, probably an entire city, you got to be very wary of this. Don't go by record here. The Edmonton Eskimos are a formidable foe.
Rod Black from the CFL on TSN. Thanks for joining us today, and have a great call this weekend.
All right, anytime, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, brother. Take care, man.
It is Mr. Lou, Winnipeg Jets game day. The Edmonton Oilers are in town, and your countdown to qualify is also coming up next on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
A little poison on The Big Show on a Friday. TSN 1290 presents a countdown to the Classic 2016 Tim Hortons NHL Heritage Classic, October 22nd and 23rd. And we have plenty of ways to get you to the game, including each and every weekday until October 21st. Right now it's 7:15, 12:15, and 5:15 for a chance to win. Everybody who does will score a classic jersey from Royal Sports and get entered to win a weekly pair of Heritage Classic tickets to both events. Now's your time to qualify. 780-1290. Grand prize tickets will be awarded to random qualifiers every Friday afternoon at 5:30. You can also enter to win a bonus Heritage Classic prize pack, including tickets and jerseys, by sending us pictures and memories of some of your own classic hockey moments. Post them to our Facebook wall or tweet them at TSN 1290 Radio using the hashtag TSN 1290 Classic. One lucky grand prize winner will score extra game tickets and jerseys on Friday, October 21st. For more classic moments in hockey and reports on all things related to the Heritage Classic weekend, keep listening to TSN 1290 or search the hashtag TSN 1290 Classic. Once again, 780-1290, your chance to qualify today. Then again with Rick Ralph on the Don Vito Roundtable at 12:15 and Husser and Lawless 5:15. And this week's winner of the tickets will be announced on HNL at 5:30 today. It is Mr. Lou, Winnipeg Jets game day, of course, as we have Clean Line Winnipeg Jets hockey on TSN 1290.
Husser and Lawless will have the pregame show live from Boston Pizza City Place, then the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show with Rick Ralph at 6, and the Huron Windows postgame show will follow Winnipeg Jets Clean Line Hockey on the station as the Oilers are in town. Yesterday, Mr. Troy Westwood and Brandon Rewicki, the Winnipeg Jets got their first preseason win of the year, a 4-1 victory over the Minnesota Wild. Kyle Connor had his first point or first goal in a Jets uniform in his first game officially in a Jets uniform. Other than the Young Stars tournament, he had a goal out there as well in Penticton. Josh Morrissey had two assists, and Matthew Perreault had a goal and an assist but did leave the game.
I thought Morrissey looked really good during the course of the night last night. There was a number of super nifty exit passes out of the defensive zone that he made. He looked really calm, composed, looked very comfortable in playing with Tyler Meyer. Super impressed with what he brought to the table. Again, I thought Tanev looked good. Real strong defensively, great awareness, always reading the play where he's supposed to be, a really hard-working guy, engaged constantly, and boy, did Connor Hellebuck ever look good. Just sort of reminded, that much time had passed since we'd seen him play, reminded about how much more in control and sort of quiet he is between the pipes than, say, a Pavlik. Like, he's just so technically sound, and I'm sure he would have liked to have had that goal back. He might have been somewhat screened by Myers on the play, just sort of got through him. But other than that, some real nice rebound control, and as usual, typically he's always where he's supposed to be.
27 saves on 28 shots, .964 save percentage for Hellebuck last night.
Yeah, and I think it was a really big game for Josh Morrissey because a lot of the times coaches will try and test a player when you have back-to-back games like that. And I think for Morrissey to get in there, not as many minutes as his first one, but to get back in there and play much better, I thought, than he did in his first game, where I thought last night he actually jumped off the page for one of the first times when I've seen him play live.
I think playing with Tyler Myers was a good thing, right? Like he had as an emergency outlet to Tyler Myers, was making himself available in times and coming out of the zone to buy a little bit more time in the zone. And when Morrissey did have time, Wicks, boy, he was making some pretty passes out.
Mm-hmm. And very, very good. He's very smart in terms of, like, similar to, I know you don't like to compare him to Enstrom, but in terms of positionally,
yes, yeah.
Right? Like, he's never going to make a thunderous hit, although he did have a bit of a beauty there in the third period, but always just little stick checks and stick pokes here and there where he's just always in the right position.
It's not that I don't like to compare them, right? I don't like it when people say, oh, we can't have guys the size of Morrissey and Enstrom out there, and people unfairly giving Morrissey sort of the same approach as Toby Enstrom, where he'll get bashed around and is not physically engaged. That's just unfair to Morrissey. Morrissey's a physical player, and he uses his body well out there.
We're going to hear Jimmy Compon, the assistant coach of the Jets, thoughts on Kyle Connor, who did get his first goal off a feed from Mark Stewart, and the other assist went to Matthew Perreault. And it was a great snipe. It was a great feed, but the way he buried it under the bar was just a great shot. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody, or tell everybody, Andrew Kopp was 71% in the faceoff circle on Tuesday against the Flames, 75% in the faceoff circle last night against the Minnesota Wild. And I said that's not sustainable. That's crazy.
It is good. Yeah,
for
fantastic,
two games in a row.
Right? Yeah. So, hey, man, maybe he's going to morph into the Jim Slater here as far as being that super strong. The Jets need somebody at the dot who's really strong, right? That's been something that's been missing outside of Slater for this organization since the return.
So Jimmy Compon, the assistant coach of the Winnipeg Jets, been running things well. Paul Maurice has been at the World Cup of Hockey. Had these thoughts on Kyle Connor's first game with the Jets.
I think he was a little nervous at the start. You can see his speed is definitely noticeable. If he uses his speed, it's a great asset for him. And the way he shot the puck, that's what Kyle does. He's got a nose around the net. He goes to those soft areas, finds those areas, and he's definitely a goal scorer. He's got that touch.
And we'll talk more about the Jets and tee up the Oilers game and talk about the Wild one, as it is Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290. We'll do that next with Shane Knighty on The Big Show.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and iHeartRadio is here. No matter what style of music you like, you'll find it on iHeartRadio. 105 of the best radio stations in Canada, including this one, TSN 1290,
plus 105 streaming channels you won't find anywhere else. Download the free app today, iHeartRadio. It is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day again as the Edmonton Oilers are in town to take on the Winnipeg Jets. They are 1-1 in preseason action after a 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild last night at the MTS Center. And the man who was there and helped call the game on TSN 3 is Mr. Shane Knight. He joins the big show now. How are you today, Knights?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. I just called you Knights. I should, Mr. Knighty. I don't know you that well, do I?
No.
Are we there yet?
You can call me that.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
I've been called a lot worse.
I bet. You know what? This is interesting, Shane. I know you're between the boards, and we had Mark Masters on yesterday, and we were talking about Nazem Kadri and his expectations for the Leafs, and it reminded me of one of the best chirps I ever heard was a Moose Marley's game, and Nazem Kadri was getting into it with Guillaume Desbiens, and he turned and he said, "Your own teammates don't even like you." I'm wondering, and of course, some of the Marlies were killing themselves about it. What's some of the best chirps you've heard in between the boards?
Oh, I wish I could repeat them.
They're great, really, though, eh? Like some of the things they come
really
up
good
with.
Ones. Steve Ott, as much as people hate him, is a really funny guy and one of the quickest wits in the league. And there's a lot of other guys that, and they're good. Guys go back and forth. Yeah, I've heard that one used before, the Kadri got. It's used a lot on those guys. So, you know what? That's one of the benefits getting down there. I love to kind of throw the head out there, listen a little bit of what's going on between the benches every now and then. And sometimes you get some good ones. Sometimes, the majority of the time, though, you get the standard ones.
Yes.
They're quite full of words I cannot say.
The standard ones that I usually get outside the grocery store myself. So we'll move on. What were your impressions of the 4-1 victory for the Winnipeg Jets last night? We've been talking about some of the young guys that stood out, and I guess we'll start with Josh Morrissey, who it looked like he took advantage of the opportunity that's before him a little bit more last night.
Better. It's preseason, so I don't get too excited, especially game two. First period was a struggle just to even watch and be part of. But it picked up from there, and that was the rust. And Nikolaj Ehlers can't even carry the puck up the ice. He loses it a couple times. That's all part of getting back into it. And Josh Morrissey, I thought he improved. And that's what you want to do. If you're a young player, it's about getting more and more comfortable as you play. And he had a game under his belt. It should have been better. Should have felt a little more natural out there in the ice. He should have been up to speed. Things should have been his mind, hands, feet should have been moving a little bit quicker. So, and I thought they were great breakouts. I think I did a little clips of him after the first period, some real good plays where he was, you know, doing the shoulder check, saw coverage coming in the forecheck, read it, went back, got the puck, made the play, real good first pass plays. And those are the things that as you get more and more comfortable here, they're going to happen. So a good test for Josh Morrissey. Thought he looked good. But we also have to remember he played with a pretty good guy in Tyler Myers against what really wasn't the exact Minnesota Wild team. But that being said, a good step in the right direction for Josh Morrissey.
Sheriff, I want to ask, because at the end of the year last year, what most I heard as far as Josh Morrissey and the possibility of coming up to the big club was that he's sort of a dark horse, that there's a possibility here that he might be able to take that step and play. And now that Trouba's gone, there's this void that exists, be it either beside Byfuglien or Myers. Is it a long shot that he might be able to make that jump to play in the first or second pairing, or do you think it's actually something that he's got a legitimate chance at?
It's a big step. It's a lot of minutes. He's been playing them here early. And I don't know if I can answer that yet. I think definitely if I'm a defenseman, and I'm just going to put myself in his situation, one of the biggest things in hockey, especially for a young player and any player, and we've seen it in anything in sport, is confidence. Well, the fact that Jacob Trouba is in there, it gets you a little more confident that there might be a spot. Not guaranteeing, but it, you know, he may be walking a couple inches higher just because of that chance. And now it's about grabbing it, feeling good. Now he's had a couple games under his belt. Felt probably really good about last night, just getting the couple points. That reassures a player. But whether he'll be able to make that full step into the top four, I can't answer that yet. I think still has a lot of games to go here in preseason. I think the head coach would like to come watch him live, which Paul Maurice probably is on his way back for tonight. I don't know if Morrissey will be in. But there is some talent there. I think he skates well enough to be able to do it, and that's a big part of it, being able to skate. He moves well. Just a matter now of him to continue to elevate that game every time he gets on the ice and continue to show coaching staff management that he's making those adjustments. He's drafted first round. Those are picks, and it takes time to mature, and certainly you can see some maturity in his game.
Anybody else stand out for you last night, Shane, that maybe just sort of caught your eye, has made an impression with the coaching staff?
I saw some guy, Connor Hellebuck, look good. You know, I saw it early on, and I hate to critique. His rebound control isn't great, but he still stops the puck. And then eventually he got, more, just like everyone else, more and more comfortable first game. The puck hits him. He finds a way to get the puck to hit him. It's really, and ever since I first watched him, that's the best explanation I can give. He finds a way to stop the puck. It's not flashy at times, but he certainly is in position and very, very structural in the way he plays. I thought Connor, you saw the speed. Nikolai Ehlers, you saw the speed. Perot looked good until he went down, which is always a scary sight. So we'll see what happens there. But it's game two. Still lots more to see. I thought Tyler Myers was moving really well. This is a guy that had a couple surgeries. I even talked to him. He said, you know, it feels like best he's felt in 2 years. So if you're a Jets fan, I think that's something good to hear from the big number 57.
Sheriff, watching Brandon Tenev, he didn't jump off the ice maybe as much as he did in that first game, but watching him and keying in on him seems really defensively aware in all three areas of the ice. Does he have a legitimate chance to stick and stay here with the club?
I think if he plays like that, yeah, smart. I think that's what comes, first thing I think of with Tenev is very smart, very quick, on the puck. Not a big guy, but he's not afraid to get in there, get on it, attack. You watch him on the penalty kill. You watch his reads when he's not the first man on the forecheck. He's the man back. Great positioning. He watches the play. He can pick off passes. Good defensive stick. Little details to the game for a guy that's, sure he had a little taste last year, but just pretty much right out of college. He's a smart guy, and that goes to show, that little bit of age being, 24, 25 years old. Smart, understand. So, still a lot more for him to show, but he's certainly got his name out there. And now he's got to show it to the rest of the way. That's the frustrating thing. One or two games doesn't do it for those guys fighting for the spot. They've got to do it game in and game out. You're not allowed to take that foot off the gas pedal at all.
We're talking with Shane Knighty, Winnipeg Jets hockey analyst on TSN3 and right here on TSN 1290 on the Big Show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. I hope they fix that ice where Mark O'Donnell caught that edge.
He did not try to move at all. Goalie should stay in the net. Want to get hit.
Play it like a defenseman, get hit like a defenseman. Shane, talk about the Oilers game now, and they're coming in, and we don't know what the Jets lineup will be and everything like that, but back-to-back games here for this crew and whoever does get into the lineup. I thought a lot of the forwards, and people were all over the Jets in the first period, but it is preseason. A lot of these guys, like Brian Little, hasn't played since February. It takes a while to get going.
Yes.
What do you expect from the crew tonight against the Oilers now that it is the third game and some of the guys that will be playing back-to-backs?
There will, but I think we're still going to see some new faces. I think that's why they've kept so many bodies around. I think Saturday you'll start to see some people sent home, some of the junior players. But right now, because they played so many, I think we'll see some new guys. We'll see a couple guys playing in their second games. It'll be, that last game, I hope, of where there's that little bit of rust still in it at periods of time. And we saw that with Brian Little, Stafford, some of those veteran players. Just, it takes a little while, and that's fine. That's what preseason's for with those guys. I don't think Brian Little really needs to prove anything. We pretty much know he's a lock. So to get his hands back, hasn't played since February. There's going to be those guys tonight. We'll see if Patrick Laine will play. I think everybody's anticipating it, and I expect them to, but we'll wait and see what the final roster is for this evening.
Sheriff, the World Cup of Hockey wraps up with what everyone thought was going to happen, Canada winning. I just heard again the Bufflin quote about didn't really enjoy the experience there. And you think about the bit of a gong show that was going on with the USA and Tortorella and all the rest of it. I don't know that we specifically asked for your take with that, but just what an unfortunate thing that Buff gets a chance to go and wear the USA jersey and it ends up not being a positive experience because you got a guy like Tortorella in the dressing room maybe.
Well, yeah, it's no player's going to be happy. A coach has to make those decisions, and Bufflin, for whatever reason, was the odd man out, and I disagree with that. you know, just Canada. Jake Muzzin and Claude Giroux didn't get to play. So there's guys on every team, and how that experience works out, you never know. And for Buffalo, and he's a guy that wants to be in the lineup. I think he's a guy that should have been in the lineup. If they would have won and he wasn't in the lineup, maybe it's a little different experience. But because they failed at pretty much everything, it was a disastrous tournament for USA, that he has every reason not to be enjoy the experience. I don't think many of them would have enjoyed it, actually, to be honest with you, even the guys who played.
You know, that's interesting, Shane, because I was watching the celebration last night after the game, and it was like the players didn't know how to react. Like, they're, yep, you know, they're hosting it, but they're like, what did we sort of do? And the real telling thing to me was a camera in the locker room where, you know, all the Saran wrap is up to protect the gear, and nobody's jumping around, nobody's spraying but everybody. They're just guys having a beer going, this was fun, and I guess we got to go to training camp tomorrow. Like, it's it was so weird because it just was like sort of a bunch of guys sitting around having a beer, and they didn't really know how to react to winning the World Cup.
You know what? Because of what was happening at the stage of the Olympics, it was almost like trying to recreate something that doesn't have the same emotion. And it certainly didn't. It was fun. It's good hockey. To be honest, once the NHL preseason started, I completely tuned out. Completely. And lost. It was good to watch when there was nothing else on. So to me, I think it lost a lot of the luster it had early on. And, it did seem strange when they scored. There's excitement because guys want to win. I watched, and it was right after the Jets, Marchand scores that shorthanded goal. You can see the raw emotion there. But, you know, the celebration and then afterwards, it's like, you know, carrying the cup. It's not the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And it's weird to carry a cup around like that. The Olympics, you get the medal. It's a different thing. It's pride. I don't know how to explain it. It seemed like an odd celebration to me.
It is Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290, and Shane Knighty will be a part of it as the Oilers are in town to take on the Winnipeg Jets. Shane, we appreciate you doing this, and have a good call tonight.
All right, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks so much, Sheriff. Take care, man.
It just was weird, the celebration. Like, it's, and I'm not knocking it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely, you know, it was more like they won like a senior men's tournament or something. Which I guess essentially this is what it is at the NHL level.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the celebration on like the face off with 2.9 seconds left at the end of the game was really unfortunate because it looked like they were really ready. They were celebrating pretty good on the bench at that point. It was cool when Carey Price was skating. The boys are coming at him, and you can read his lips clear as day when he's like, "Effing right, baby," is what Carey Price said as the voice came to him. But yeah, a little bit strange the whole thing, but I hope it continues forward. A couple tweaks here and there. Had it been, and boy, oh boy, to have those games, though, during the exhibition schedule at the NHL, that was a major league fail.
Like,
ridiculous.
I don't get there was preseason two of them in the National Hockey League on Monday. Why don't you take Tuesday's preseason games,
just bounce
put
them
all
down
on the
bit,
Monday,
yeah,
and allow game one to stand by itself?
Stupid.
I don't get that. You're marketing against yourself.
Yeah, you're cannibalizing your own market. Crazy.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, it might be different for other markets, but here in Winnipeg, to not have Paul Maurice here for damn near close to the first week of training camp, I mean, it's not what you want to see, right? Like, it kind of really sucks for this team, right? Because, sure, you can make decisions, you can see tape and that sort of thing, but to not have him in person at camp with, you know, 400 youngsters basically trying to get into the bottom six at forward and then some key decisions on the back end, like...
But you got, he's got the coaching staff and trusted circle like that, right? So... not ideal.
With 10 minutes to go last night in that World Cup game, I'm sitting here going, if they pull this out, he's now not back till Sunday or Monday. There's, you know, a total of 4 preseason games out of the 7 done.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and the timing of it and the scheduling of it. But anyways, Canada wins the World Cup, as they should, and everything is right in the hockey world here in our great nation. It is Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets, a game day. We'll continue to dissect that and talk about the win over the Wild coming up on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
The Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, Jim Tolfe, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and TSN 1290 is proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Games. All eyes will be on Winnipeg next summer as over 4,000 athletes from across Canada come to compete, featuring 16 spots and over 250 events. The 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games will welcome over 20,000 visitors, making it an event not to be missed. Volunteer registration is now open. To stay up to date on event details, ticket offers, and more, visit 2017canadagames.ca or tsn1290.ca. We're going to have Bob Weeks on in the next hour and talk about the Ryder Cup, but is there anything in sports right now that has more controversy? Drama. The drama queens are out at the Ryder Cup.
I really like the controversy, though. I'm really enjoying. We were just talking off air, and back in the height of the Phil and Tiger thing, I was 100% a Tiger guy, and so Phil always kept at a distance and sort of sneered at him. But the level of honesty that he's talking about the past, the struggles of Hal Sutton and creating a team like chemistry with this, I'm really enjoying the inside information that he's given us just to add to the interest of the Ryder Cup this year.
And we'll talk to Bob Weeks about the Ryder Cup. And our good friend Hustler, Andrew Patterson, is on his way down. He'll be there because that's how it rolls.
That's what he does. That's what Hus does, yeah. Right?
Give me a big sporting event and he'll be there. What happened? Oh, dude, I knew. Gave me a free flight.
And, yeah. That's basically how it works, right?
I won a trip around the world at 7-Eleven. It's awesome. The other great thing yesterday, and what makes the Ryder Cup so special, is the things in the crowd that goes on, and it's match play and all that. But yesterday, that guy who came got called out by Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson and then nails a putt, which would have hit Winnipeg if it didn't go in the cup.
It was pretty cool, right? $100 down on the green, and to get called out like that first. And I'm seeing already, there's already complaining right now on Twitter about the yaps, all the yappiness going on right now with the American golf fans. It's a real neat thing. This is another old school, new school thing, right? The old school people would just detest this, all the beacon that's going on the golf course and the talking and all the rest of it. But the new
drama.
School vibe, it does add a real – it's a real neat watch to see the beacon, the talk, and the liveliness of the crowd during the Ryder Cup. But I don't know if it's right or not or how I feel about it, but it certainly adds a neat dimension.
Well, that's what makes it so special, though, right, is to have kind of the home court or, you know, the home field advantage here for the Americans who need it because they don't win the Ryder Cup anymore. But
and how about Danny Willett's brother with, like, yeah, that just, good taking fire at the American
fans, right? Gasoline
just
being
right?
dumped yes. all over the place there. But that I love it. I think it's great. And when you have it in Europe, there's a little bit of that, but it's still very polite and
yes.
gentlemanly.
Yeah.
I love that it changes once you get to the States. Like, let's go all out here and just I hope they yell during their backswings. Like, I hope they go full out here to make it as difficult as possible, because you want the environment to be real, real special.
And when we were debating the whole right side, left side Jacob Trouba demand with the Winnipeg Jets, Hustler actually sent me an email of a story on Patrick Reed and talk about divas and what kind of a guy he is. But Patrick Reed, apparently, for this Ryder Cup, walked into the captain and said, I'm going to play all five matches.
It's Davis Love, right?
Yeah, I'm not sitting, and I'll only play with Jordan Spieth. He laid down the gauntlet. I'm playing all five matches, and I'll only play with Jordan Spieth.
And we see this morning that's who his partner is, right?
Exactly. He's teed off. Patrick Reed, apparently one of the best humans on the planet.
Great teammate.
I'll tweet that article out. It's unbelievable read on Patrick Reed. I'll do that on Jim Toe Sports. And we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tee up the Bombers and the Eskimos with Jeff Hamilton on The Big Show. TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to The Big Show on TSN 1290. And want to remind everybody that iHeartRadio is here. From rock to pop to country and all the sports you can handle from TSN 1290. There's something for everyone. Download the free app today. It's your one-stop radio. One-stop for all radio is what I'm trying to say. iHeartRadio is here. Download the free app today. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki on The Big Show here as we continue to tee up both the Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day as the Edmonton Oilers are in town to take on the Winnipeg Jets with Clean Line Winnipeg Jets Hockey on TSN 1290. It'll all get started with Husser and Lawless live with the pregame show, live with Husser and Lawless from Boston Pizza City Place. The Manitoba Building Trades pregame show goes at 6, and the Huron Windows postgame show follows after the puck drops. So make sure you tune into that all day. And, of course, Darren Bombing and Troy Westwood will be a part of all of that programming as they help tee up the Bombers and the Eskimos here with the Minuke Denture pregame show as well. A big day on TSN 1290. And in order to get it, download the iHeartRadio app. That'll help you do it. To help us tee up the Bombers-Eskimo battle, we welcome back into the program from the Winnipeg Free Press, Mr. Jeff Hamilton. How are you, sir?
Not bad. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Before we tee up this battle, I guess you were there all week, and Mike O'Shea has always been emphatic about win or lose, win by a lot, lose by a lot, vice versa. It's just one game, and you move on to the next one. What was the atmosphere like this week after the loss in Calgary?
Similar story to a certain degree, but you know, as we've seen through this recent stretch of theirs, they haven't really hit a week of practice following a loss in some time. So there was a little bit of a difference. The message, I believe, I mean, we always get them on depending on what day it is, it's a 4-week practice, but they always show up, you know, those days before, and they're watching film and they're going over, you know, what they did wrong and whatnot, and or what they did right. And this week it was the first time following a loss, so it was a little bit more somber. It was, we don't really want to talk about Calgary, you know, we're moving on to Edmonton, which was a little bit of a different feel. But that kind of mellowed out like throughout the week, and the task at hand is Edmonton, and a big opportunity to kind of start another stretch. This was the team that that kicked off that 7-game win streak, so certainly motivated on doing that, and a big final stretch here down the final games, 5 games. So, like you said, kind of business as usual, even keeled, and focus shifts to tonight.
Jeff, I don't think that it should be understated the added oomph that a game against Edmonton will have for Matt Nichols here in a number of their training camps, a number of seasons. Actually won the starting job from Mike Riley in a battle until he was injured. This all games are important, but these ones have a little bit more oomph for Matt Nichols, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely, Troy. And it's funny because we've been asking Matt Nichols almost every single week, it feels that, you know, how does it feel to be the number one guy? How does it feel to kind of have that, you know, trust in your coach? Or how does it feel to kind of know in preparation every week that you're going to be, you know, the guy at your center no matter what? And he kind of gave the cliche answers for so long. I mean, yesterday he just seemed to open up and talk about how it's kind of changed the way he, not necessarily changed the way he views the game, but changes the way, certainly the way he views this team, and you know, it's football, life is different, meetings on the field, you know, he can make those adjustments with his own, you know, his own receivers and not worry what the, you know, the number one guy is thinking. But to your point, certainly, you know, he's motivated to beat a team that, you know, traded him midway through last season. He was motivated back then. He's certainly motivated now, not only to beat them, but to, you know, maybe damper their possibility of making the playoffs, certainly in the West Division. There's still always that possibility of the crossover in the East, but at the same time, you know, if Toronto can figure it out, they seem to be a little bit of a tire fire over there right now. You know, they could push Edmonton out of the playoff picture completely. So certainly motivated by that. Obviously, has a ton of friends over there, but you know, there's no friends on the football field. And Matt Nichols is motivated to give Edmonton another loss this season, as he did, you know, eight or nine weeks ago.
Health-wise, no Andrew Harris again this week. It looks like Jeff and Timothy Flanders will get the job once again. I know a lot of questions around head coach Mike O'Shea was seeing if they could possibly get those two running backs in at the same time. It doesn't seem to be the plan going forward.
Yeah, you know what? That was, you know, you can't really see it over, or obviously see it over audio, but they didn't quite roll their eyes, but kind of felt like that. You know, I made the joke, can Andrew Harris throw the football? Because then you can maybe have two guys out of the backfield that makes sense. But the reality is it's going to be a one-guy show. And it's been a good performance by Timothy Flanders. I think, you know, at this point in time, obviously the offense is with Andrew Harris in it, surrounds him quite, you know, quite well. And I think they want him to be healthy as possible. You know, they don't want to push it back. This is a team that, you know, is obviously trying to make their way up the West, but, you know, it seems to be in a pretty good position. And since Timothy Flanders, you know, last two games, he's averaged, you know, 102 that first game, 95 against Calgary, touchdowns in both games. He's filling in quite well, but I think the plan obviously is to make sure that Andrew Harris is healthy, that he's at full health. So when he does return, you know, he can have that same impact he had before he got injured. But yeah, the idea of it, just with the ratio and everything, it's not going to be a two-back system. And Timothy Flanders, I think, knows that and is taking advantage of his opportunities and putting together his game tape. And who knows what it's like moving forward. We've already seen this year, and, you know, Drew Willey being sent away and Johnny Adams being sent away. I mean, two guys that played pretty big roles on this team last season. And you know, it's just an opportunity for Timmy Flanders to pick up the ball again and keep doing what he's doing. And if he does keep playing the way he's playing, I don't think the Bombers will miss a beat.
Jeff, when you look at the Edmonton D line, Phillip Hunt, Odell Willis, Marcus Howard, that's a mean, nasty, ugly bunch. And boy, the Bombers going to have their hands full in containing those cats.
Yeah, it's a bunch that it gets to the quarterback, you know, and that's the key. That's what this team thinks is the key to success against Winnipeg, is getting to Matt Nichols, pressure. I think that's the key against any team, is to get to the quarterback. But you're right, with that trio, it's exceptionally harder job to prevent. You know, it allows them to rush three a lot of times, pull someone back, sometimes eight, nine guys in the backfield, which obviously is it will be tough for Matt Nichols to find receivers, even if with similar pressure as if they were rushing four. So when you have that skill, it's certainly a advantage for your team. But you know, those are three guys that Matt Nichols is, you know, being a former Eskimo, is quite aware of, and certainly something that they've been practicing for this game. And you know, it's certainly going to be, of all the battles that are going to be within the game, that's going to be one to watch, and how much pressure off the edge Matt Nichols is going to face.
We're talking about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers hosting the Edmonton Eskimos on the Big Show today on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're doing it with Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff K. Hamilton. What do you expect in here tonight between these two teams? And I was mentioning earlier in the show with Rod Black that a stat that stands out to me for the Eskimos is 374 points for, 375 points against. That's sort of tells the story of their season so far.
Yeah, exactly. These games have been tight. You know, it's been usually a touchdown decides these games. It's particularly close at home here at Investors Group Field. I think I'm expecting a tight game. Two desperate teams. One desperate to kind of get back into that winning mood. As I said before, it wasn't a, you know, it was a bit somber this week. They're not used to losing. It was almost becoming routine. And a team like Edmonton, who obviously has a ton of pride being the defending Grey Cup champions, and yet still at a record below 500. So, you know, they're going to want to make a push. You know, they have the experience to make a late push. You know, this is the kind of the time of the year where both teams want to be playing their best football. You don't want to be dropping games in September leading into playoffs. So certainly going to be a spirited one. I know a lot of talking with some guys on the Eskimos, you know, they really enjoy this stadium, obviously winning that Grey Cup last year here. And I think it's just going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be two teams, like I said, that are motivated to win. And the best part about sports is only one team can do that. You know, granted, there's no tie, but it's certainly going to be a good one, and that's what I'm expecting.
You wonder just how many points are going to get thrown up on the board. You said you expect a tight one. I think a lot of people are. You look into the last two Bomber games, there's been 145 points scored and 16 touchdowns. Maybe it turns into a track meet.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good for the fans? You know, it's going to be probably a bit chilly, but be nice to see some of that. It's always good to see scoring in these games. But, you know, with the way Winnipeg's been playing, been able to put together scoring drives, you know, ending them with touchdowns, I know that's something that Edmonton was kind of able to do last week against BC that they hadn't done in some time. And when you have a Darius Bowman and Darrell Walker in your receivers group, and those guys have been known to be Bomber killers a bit, you know, it has the potential to be a shootout. It's kind of been not a shootout in the sense of points, but both these teams have put up some pretty fair yardage against each other. I think it's just who can tighten up in that red zone, and it really does have the potential to go either way with these two rosters.
Hey, Jeff, the biggest news in the CFL this week has to be the Kent Austin situation. What's your take on that and how the CFL responded?
You know, I think it's funny because we were chatting about it yesterday, and it's almost like an eye for an eye, you know, a slap on the wrist for a slap on the wrist. I mean, this is a a guy who physically touched a referee, whether it was intentional or not. I don't see how you don't see it intentional. It's, you know, you got to keep your cool. To be up in the box while you can still coach, to me, doesn't really make any sense. It's, you know, it's for a league that needs to kind of protect, or any league needs to protect their officials. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why you couldn't do at least one game suspension. I don't know what the why the CFL and was so, you know, careful about what they did with the $10,000 fine and keeping them up there. I just think it could have been easily. Maybe it's the time of year. You know, Hamilton's not doing all that bad, but, you know, it's, to me, I just felt like they fell just a bit short. You know, they addressed it. It was, at least it wasn't, you know, 7 or 8 weeks that they made the decision. Obviously not working with that timetable with where we're at in the schedule, but slightly disappointed, but at the same time, you got to move on. And I just think it sets a weird precedent for the next time. Hopefully something like this doesn't happen, but for if it does, you know, this is kind of where they set the bar.
You follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff K. Hamilton, and you read his fine work in the Winnipeg Free Press, winnipegfreepress.com. Thanks for doing this, Jeff. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You too.
Take care, brother.
We will take a break and get into the Jets' 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild in their second preseason game and tee up their third preseason game, as it is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day here on The Big Show at TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
The Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, and the Children's Hospital Foundation is dedicated to ensuring that every child treated at the Children's Hospital receives the best medical care possible, but they can't do it alone. Join TSN 1290 and Selkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep in caring for kids. Text KIDS to 54321 and you'll be helping make a difference. Selkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital Foundation for every text message they get throughout the month. That money will go to the Children's Hospital Foundation to help improve the health of children everywhere. Caring for Kids is proudly supported by Selkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep and TSN 1290. Jim Tolf, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki on The Big Show. The Winnipeg Jets with their first preseason victory in their second game of the preseason, 4-1 over the Minnesota Wild last night at MTS Center and right here on your home of Winnipeg Jets clean line hockey, TSN 1290. Matt Dumbo opened the scoring, then Matthew Perreault. Kyle Connor with his first in a Jets uniform other than the, well, I guess, Young Stars tournament in Penticton. Nikolai Ehlers also had his first goal of the preseason. Andrew Kopp got his first goal. Andrew Kopp got his first goal after he probably should have had his third one, robbed by John Gibson on Tuesday from the Flames. And then again last night, Marco Dano sets him up and just misfired on that one. But he deflects a Churchman point shot late in the game to make it 4-1.
Yeah, and slow out of the gate, the Jets were here. I think both teams, more or less, in that first period, although there was a considerable edge in shots. I think it was 10-1 at one point for Minnesota over the Jets. It wasn't like the Wild were dominating excessively, really, as much as you would think. There was just wasn't much being created for either team in the first period, and a lot of people were kind of grumbling about that in the first intermission. But even with the lack of shots generated or offensive chances generated by the Jets in that first period, it was a period where Josh Morrissey stood out and a bunch of real nifty exit passes out of the zone and just a smart play, looked real comfortable with Tyler Myers out there. And yeah, it's only the second game of seven preseason games, but I think a lot of people wanted to see Josh Morrissey sort of jump off the ice a little bit to make the possibility of maybe him getting an opportunity to play in the first or second pairing with Trouba not being here. And I think that happened last night for Jets fans anyway, where they can be excited about the possibility of it right now.
I think the main thing, and Knighty made a good point when he talked about this, is that there's the progression in his game so far, right? Where the first game, you know, he didn't play bad, but he didn't play good or very good. He was just kind of a guy on the ice. But last night, there were the pop plays, right? Where a couple nice hits, good. Some real nice work with the puck inside his own zone and in the offensive zone. I thought he looked really good on the power play. Mm-hmm. I thought he moved the puck really well, straddling along the blue line there. So it was all
cool
in all.
Last night, all the young fellas out there on the power plays. That was
cool, and they didn't look out of place, right? Like they all performed at a pretty high level. So I think for Morrissey, it was a real important step for him to kind of take that next little bit of a jump, playing with an NHL defenseman and kind of showing that he could hold his own. Not the greatest competition, but he looked like he was playing against lesser players, and he stood out because of that.
Josh Morrissey played 18 minutes and 8 seconds, 3:38 on the power play. He had 2 assists. He took a minor penalty. He had 3 shots on goal, 2 block shots, 2 giveaways, but he had 3 hits. And here's Josh Morrissey's thoughts on being physical and how it helps his game.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when I'm playing with a bit of an edge, I'm around the puck. I'm getting the guys faster. You know, I like to play physical. I've always played that way since I was a, you know, peewee player. And I think when I'm doing those things, I mean, from talking to management and the coaching staff, I mean, obviously I'm not a huge guy, but if you have good timing and you're in the right position and, you know, you get low to the ice, you know, you can drive up into guys and play physical that way. So, you know, I try to play with that edge, and I think when I'm doing that, you know, my game is all around better. Usually if you see me doing that, I'm around the puck and into the game.
Even in front of the net last night, there was a couple of times where he was, you know, tough to play against, and that's what you want from every defenseman. Not every defenseman brings it to that aspect to the game, but I noticed that last night that in front of the net he was laying the lumber down a little bit more and positioning himself better for those battles for position in front of the net.
Yeah, he's strong on his skates. Some people think about the possibility of him being a part of the defense corps and get away from it thinking he's another small guy like Toby Enstrom, but he and Enstrom have very different games. Morrissey much stronger, much more physically involved than Toby Enstrom, although he brings some of the positives that Enstrom has in his game as far as smart passes out of the zone and all the rest of it. One player that struggled outside of the brilliant pass that he made to Kyle Connor, which stunned people, it was remarkable, is that Mark Stewart in that first period, and there's a number of times during the course of the game where he was just struggling out there. And I see he's only listed with 2 giveaways. I don't know about that. I thought I saw 4 of them in the first period. And another time when he lost a man that he had up against the boards that led to a really good scoring chance. And then he lost what sort of magnified the difficulty with his lack of speed in this game, where Schrader had for the Wild had 3 or 4 steps, was behind him by 3-4 steps in about midway in the neutral zone, and the puck was in the defensive zone for the Jets, and he beat Stewart to the puck, and that just sort of highlighted the speed situation here with Mark Stewart, and he's going to be really interesting to watch going forward.
Tyler Myers led all defensemen in ice time, 24-31. Ben Chiarot was second at 22-13. Mark Stewart played 18 minutes and 52 seconds. The D last night was Mark Stewart, Ben Chiarot, Josh Morrissey, Ben Strait, Kevin Churchman. Don't call me Kazuzuman. Kevin Churchman. Don't ever call me Kazuzuman. Kevin Churchman, 15-16. And Tyler Myers, as we mentioned. I thought Shane Knighty brought up a good point. Brian Little hasn't played since February. Tyler Myers has had 2 off-season surgeries and told Shane Knighty after the game this is the best he's felt in 2 years. Huh. And those are some of the veterans. We talked about the slow start in the first period. Those are some of the veterans that they say, you know, it takes a while. Like, it takes a first period. It takes a first time on the ice. But it was good to see Tyler Myers after those 2 surgeries.
He looked real good, yeah.
You know, getting out there and playing so well. Connor Hellebuck, 27 saves on 28 shots, .964 save percentage. And that'll be a key position we'll all be keeping an eye on going forward as well. The Ryder Cup is underway. We'll go there live and talk to TSN's Bob Weeks. And, hey, the six-pack is coming up as well.
Oh,
shh, no yelling this week on the six-pack. I'm embarrassed. On The Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
The TSN Radio, TSN 1290 is an iHeart radio station. TSN for sports and music to suit any taste or pick something that suits your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the free app today, iHeart Radio. TSN 1290 is the big show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki. We'll have your six-pack in the NFL coming up. Do with it what you may. Probably don't use it. Or do the opposite, actually.
Yes, there's positive in that, too, man.
There's always positive, always positive. The Ryder's Cup is underway. Ryder Cup is underway at Hazeltine, and we're very fortunate to have Bob Weeks join us from TSN right now. He's live there. Bob, thanks for doing this. How are you? Oh, we're just breaking up a little bit with the cell. Bob, do you got us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you now. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks. No problems. Yeah, it's good.
What a great start to the event with the Arnold Palmer chant on the first tee.
That was pretty nice, and the crowd here has been absolutely wonderful. They've been very respectful. Both sides are having a lot of fun going back and forth of the chants this morning on the first tee. I think part of it was to try and stay warm. It's a little cool here this morning, but it looks like it's going to warm up to be a nice fall day. But, yeah, it was a good start, and that's what kind of makes this event. It's lots of energy and lots of excitement. Lots of crowd cheering and stuff, which you don't get at normal PGA tours.
Bob, do you like? I think probably a lot of old school golf type people aren't all that fond about how boisterous and sort of rowdy the crowd is. Is that an aspect of this of the Ryder Cup that you enjoy?
Yeah, I think the players do too. It's one time a year. It's not like it's all the time. It doesn't always happen, but and I think that they sort of expect it and they. You know, cheers them on. This whole event is quite different for them because they're in a team format, which they don't usually play. They're in a match play format, which they don't usually play. So it's certainly a different week for them. And the crowd part of it, as long as it's good natured, doesn't get out of hand like it has in a few cases in the past. I think.
Son of a biscuit.
Son of a. Are you there, Bob? Sorry, you're dropping.
Hello.
Up. Yeah, there we go. We got you again. Sorry.
Okay, I won't move. I'll stand right in this spot.
Go ahead and finish your thought there.
I was just saying that it's a different week for them, and I think they do love the crowd. I think when the crowd pumps them up, the crowd gets them going. These guys are all grew up playing team plus golf teams. So this is kind of part that happens. It's regular now.
Bob, we're losing you again, man. Well,
yeah,
maybe we'll try again.
We're just having a little trouble with you again, Bob. We'll get you to stand still, as you just said, and I'll maybe ask you one more question before we let you go, as I know we're having a little trouble with reception. You're busy. I thought it was a little bit of version, instead of the Housewives of New York or Orange County, it was the Golfers of the Ryder Cup. A lot of drama heading into this event surrounding Phil Mickelson and Willett and everything.
Yeah, certainly there were a lot of apologies flying yesterday after some interesting comments. I think Phil... threw Hal Sutton under the bus with his comments about the 2004 Ryder Cup. And I'm not sure if he did it intentionally or if it was just kind of a miscue that he did, but it certainly stirred up things around here, a little bit of a hornet's nest. And then Danny Willett's brother coming out with a commentary about what the U.S. fans are like, calling them imbeciles and being mobs of imbeciles and cretins and stuff went on. So he was doing a lot of backpedaling. And I honestly think this morning, that he sat out the first match. He's expected, I think, to play with Lee Westwood this morning. Instead, it's Thomas Peters out there. And I kind of think that maybe Darren Clark pulled him out and said, look, why don't you just take the morning off, get yourself together, regather, regroup, and you'll come out in the afternoon matches. And because in the warm-ups, Lee Westwood and Danny Willett were practicing quite a bit together, so a bit of a surprise out there. But it's never a dull moment when it comes to the Ryder Cup.
Are you expecting this to be close? Okay.
We just missed you again, Bob. That'll be our last one for you if we can just get that clear. Who do you think wins this year's event?
I think the U.S. will win.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good news for all the drama that's going around this event. Bob, we really appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the event as we know you will, and we'll follow your coverage on TSN throughout the weekend.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Bob.
At Bob Weeks on TSN is how you follow him on Twitter, and of course, read it online as well. You know what time it is.
I know what time it is, baby.
First, let me start off with a disclaimer. I'm embarrassed.
It's okay, man. You got time to rebound.
I was fired up last week, eh? Like, I thought that
you
was
were
the
fired
week.
Up.
Jacksonville is dead to me.
You almost took him again this week.
I almost took him again this week, yeah. As I said, it's like that Offspring song. It's 2 a.m., the doorbell rings.
Yeah.
I've been waiting. I got to take him
rebound,
back, but
man.
I don't want
rebound,
to.
Rebound. Come back strong. It's all good.
So it's a new gym this week, everybody. Calm, cool, and collected. Denver's on a heater, putting up some points. They go down to T-Bay. Tan Lines versus the Mile High. Some in that state, literally. But we'll move on to figuratively. I think Denver can cover a 3.5 spread at Tampa Bay against the Bucks. The Bucks had a shootout with the Rams. What a display of highly octane, ugly football that was. I'll take the Broncos over the Buccaneers. 3.5. They'll beat that.
I like this. I like the calm Jim Toth in the pocket.
Yeah, it's a little more composed here. It's yeah. a little more Drew Willie than Matt Nichols, I guess you could say. So it's
I didn't realize I was yelling last week, gentlemen.
It's okay. My ears feel good. I feel good. And you know what else makes me feel good? Saying the Oakland Raiders, because that's basically the only reason I picked this team. It's just so I get about 10 chances to say the Oakland Raiders. But I do like the silver and black this week. I really do.
Hole.
I know they've got a couple of road games. I think they start the season with 3 out of 4 road games here, but they play well so far. 2-0 on the road. Had a nice little bounce back last week in Tennessee, and their defense struggled in their first two games of the season, but bounced back in a big way last week, making a couple of big changes. First round pick, Carl Joseph, back at safety. A couple of DBs in Amerson and Smith, who are playing lights out football right now. And that left side of the O-line, Kamichi Osemele, a free agent pickup this offseason.
Who?
I won't say that name again because I nailed it the first time. And Donald Penn, the old man at left tackle. They're able to do some good work there. And the Ravens are a formidable defensive front. But I think they're a bit overrated at 3-0 here. Because you look at who they played so far. Needed a bit of a miracle to beat the Browns by 3 points. Could barely beat the Jaguars last week, who handed the game to them. And then in week one against the Buffalo squad that didn't even want to be on the field. Could only put up 13 points and won that one by 6. So getting 3 points here with Oakland on the road. 3.5, I don't even need them to win this game, but I think it's going to be a tight one within a field goal, and the fact that I get the field goal, I like the Oakland Raiders to grab maybe the victory here, but for sure to keep it within 3.
I can't believe you're getting 3.5 there. I love that. I'm looking at Carolina -3 into Atlanta.
Uh-oh.
Is this the Super Bowl loser syndrome going on?
Hot
Cam,
Atlanta.
Cam, are you ready to go? Remember last year's Carolina Panthers, 15-1, that one? From Atlanta. I'm taking Carolina here because they ain't going 1-3, baby. Simple as that. Cam got swarmed by the mini D last week. What, 8 sacks? Atlanta ain't got nothing like that to bring to Mr. Newton.
Hot Atlanta.
Take Carolina in what could be a track meet minus the 3 points. Take Carolina.
Matty Ice, though. Matty Ice. All right, well, I continue the Zen picks for the six-pack today as we continue our coverage of the NFL here on the big show, TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca, the Detroit Lions are taking their high-octane offense and really bad defense into Chicago to face the very bad offense, the very bad defense, the very bad special teams, the poor coaching, and the ugly weather along the river.
Railing on your Bears.
The Bears probably will wear their orange uniforms, which are the worst of the ones that they have. Brian Hoyer's in at quarterback. They're on their third running back. Although Howard looks good in the backfield, he's still a rookie. Detroit doesn't play good on defense, but they light it up on offense. I think Marvin Jones and Matthew Stafford connect for another big week. They are favored by 3. They'll beat that easily against Chicago, who really it will be relegated to a different league after this season. I am taking Detroit to cover the 3-point spread on this week's Zen 6-Pack.
Oh, it's hard to follow you up because I either get the full energy here or just a bit of a
forgive me, I'm
going to
have a nap. Go ahead.
I'm going to go out to the West Coast here. And the New Orleans Saints, for me, this is more of a pick where you pick against a team than for a certain team.
Yeah.
And you got the Saints coming in 0-3. They don't have a defense at all. Rob Ryan's gone. You thought it might get better. Wrong. Dennis Allen comes back out of the coaching graveyard, and they throw him in there. And surprise, surprise, a team that has $30 million in dead money against the cap can't put together a defense. My Lord. They're going to go across the country.
Buy somebody!
On a short week after playing Monday night against a Chargers squad that at 1-2, I think is better than their record right now. 1-2, but probably should have beat the Chiefs on the road in week one. Had a bit of a late second half meltdown there. And
woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Last week against the Colts, another second half meltdown. I'm starting to notice a bit of a trend here. So hopefully they get up big in the first half and can hold on late. But I like the Chargers enough here. Not a big spread. And I just think that the way the Saints are playing right now, they're just not going to be good enough on the road. And they struggle playing on the grass. I think at Kyle Kwom Stadium, the Chargers -4. That might be Vegas trying to get you to go in on the Saints. They're thinking that they're not going to be able to beat them by too much, but I like the Chargers this week by a touchdown over the Saints.
Drew Brees, first return to San Diego since they got rid of him. Your shoulder's junk, Drew. Get out.
LA Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cards are -8 here. The Rams, the LA Rams sit atop the NFC West. What? The LA Rams sit atop the NFC West. Really?
Case? Casey Keenum?
Arizona. Keenum. Arizona got embarrassed on the road last week by the Bills. That is bad news for whoever was going to stroll into Arizona this week.
That even smelt bad in Arizona.
The Cards are going to put 8 in the box, remove Gurley, and the Rams are hooped. Look for Bruce Arians and the Cards to bounce back big time at home. You only have to give up 8 points. You could probably give away 12 or 14. The Arizona Cardinals stomp the LA Rams at home this week. Take the Cards -8.
Which Rams sold their soul in La La Land, Hollywood, to turn this around?
Oh, it's too early to say they've turned it around, I think, brother.
They're winning. They're winning.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the worst 2-1 team in football history.
Yeah. At least the Bears represent themselves. They are who they said they are. So once again, I'll have Denver on the road in Tampa Bay, beating the 3.5 spread, and Detroit going into Chicago, Chi-Town, if you will, beating the 3-point spread there. A new direction for Jim Toth on the six-pack. 0-6, going to zenly, calmly turn it around to 2-6 this week. Brandon.
Yeah, a little bit of feng shui here. I noticed your chair's flipped around, too, so we're going to turn it around a little bit.
I got the tofu for everybody.
I got the Chargers -4 at home, and then the Raiders, Oakland Raiders. +3.5 into Baltimore.
Go with the Panthers -3 because they ain't going 1-3. And the Arizona Cardinals to stomp the LA Rams, give up 8 points.
At Troy Westwood, we'll tweet out the six-pack for this week. Let's get it done. Get your picks in. We'll see how everything goes after the weekend, of course. Coming up next, it is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll hear from Connor Hellebuck after his great game last night versus the Wild and tee up the Oilers. And, of course, a special guest coming in at 9 o'clock, Mr. Billy Baldwin stopping by, boys. Do you know I was in a movie for 7 seconds? Goon.
Were you?
Yeah. Turn the life around. Unfortunately, for Oscar considerations, you have to have a 10-second clip. But that's, anyways, we'll move on. Winnipeg Jets game day here on Clean Line Winnipeg Jets Hockey, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day on the Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, Mr. Billy Baldwin, who's in town once again for the human race to raise some funds, is going to join us just after 9 o'clock. And, of course, the Boston Pizza fan line will open right after Mr. Baldwin joins us. The actor is in town. We'll have him on the program. And, of course, we'll continue to talk Jets and get your impressions on the Boston Pizza fan line of the 4-1 win last night. Who stood out? Who looked good? Who did not look good in your mind? And what you're expecting tonight? The Jets just letting Rick Ralph know that Kyle Connor is expected to play again tonight. So back-to-back games for Kyle Connor. And, of course, the highly anticipated debut of Patrick Laine. No word yet on whether he'll be in the lineup. But as soon as we find out here on TSN 1290, we will let you know. The World Cup was won last night in the last 3 minutes of the third period, down 1-0. Patrice Bergeron scored at the 17:07 mark of the third period. And then with less than a minute to go, Brad Marchand off a beautiful feed shorthanded from Jonathan Toews
beat Yaroslav Halak to give Canada the 2-1 win in two games in the best out of three. Interesting at the start was the national anthem.
This is as good as it gets, too. Like, this, it gets, it's worth it gets the listen as this. It meanders, yeah.
Who was it?
So that's a fair question. I'm not sure.
I think it's Hello. That's what I'm seeing here.
And here you more start like to goodbye. Squint, right? If you're standing, you kind of go, okay.
Reminds me in elementary school when a singing couple would come in and teach you about road safety with a song.
I like Pete. Yeah, here it just falls off. Goes up. Pete Blackburn, who's always entertaining on Twitter, with sort of set a bit of a fire with the old tweet yesterday saying, "Hey Canada, what the hell is this?"
I'm more of the Slash national anthem at the Jays game that time.
Yeah,
that
there's a shocker.
Sorry, I had to stop. I couldn't. That's more offensive than any kneel or fist raise. Like, I guess you military fights for the right to make crappy music, but that, I didn't like that.
You didn't enjoy the anthem?
I didn't enjoy that one.
Why don't you be open? Tell us how you really felt about it. Did you like it or not?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it, no.
Troy?
No, I'm out on that one.
You're out on that one,
yeah.
Eh?
Hmm. Yeah.
I just kept expecting, like, remember, kids, to look both ways before you cross the street. Okay. Thanks, Bob and Diane. Anyways, it is Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day. Of course, last night the Winnipeg Jets 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild, their first victory of the preseason in just their second game. Matt Dumba opened the scoring, then Matthew Perreault, Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers, and Andrew Kopp rounded out the scoring for the Winnipeg Jets. Slow start out of the gate for them in the first period. A lot of veterans were in the lineup. Brian Little's first game since February, of course, when he went down with that injury in Tampa Bay. Tyler Myers getting a ton of ice time at 24-31, coming off two off-season surgeries, 5-11 on the power play and 146 on the penalty kill. Connor Hellebuck got the start net, played the entire game, made 27 saves on 28 shots, and had a .964 save percentage. He was asked after the game if he feels he can win the number one job in this year's training camp.
Oh, that's not a question for me. I'm just going to go out and do my best and let the process take place.
The process is taking place, and I would think that's a big first step for Connor Hellebuck. Andre Pavlik has yet to see any action. Michael Hutchinson, we'll see who the goalies are tonight and who plays. But I think it's going to be Hellebuck.
Do you still think he's getting sent down? For real?
It's weird for me because I look at the contracts, I look at the situation, I think it's wide open. So if he can continue this, I guess not. But I also think that...
But you had to assume he was going to... This is along the lines of what Connor Hellebuck does. It shouldn't surprise you.
No, the game he played last night didn't surprise me at all.
So how
and we still have some more goalies to see is the point. And if the other goalies perform as well... Like, I just think the best goalie's going to play this year. But
then
at the start of the year...
Why did you think he's getting sent down,
though? Because at the start of the year, I think they're just going to go status quo. He clears waivers easily. He goes down, starts the season there, and as I've said, whether it's 10 games in due to injury or poor play, 15 games in, when he comes back up, I think it's his job. But
he doesn't have to clear waivers, right?
No, he doesn't. He's got the two-way. Right. And it's interesting because, Brandon, you think Hutchinson's going down right away.
Yeah, well, maybe not right away because the Jets have released their tonight's roster on Twitter, and he's in the game group, so I don't think they'll release him just yet, but waivers do open up today, and I do think sooner than later they'll put him in just to avoid any potential injuries in other NHL camps where if they lose a goalie, they might be more willing to pick up a guy like Michael Hutchinson. So
that's
I think earlier the better should be the case in terms of Hutch's waiver status here, but we are going to see Patrick Laine tonight. It is confirmed. It'll be his first game for the Jets. And I find it really interesting, too, that we'll get Kyle Connor and Josh Morrissey in for a second straight night. And this kind of goes back to what I said earlier where...
I tell you what, brother.
Coaches want to see these guys, certain guys, on back-to-back nights just to see if they can handle kind of the rigors of an NHL schedule.
Wouldn't be surprised at all if Josh Morrissey every single game, right? upwards of 20 minutes every single game. He's got an opportunity here, and they're going to want to see what he's able to accomplish over these seven games.
Yeah, I think he's going to play six, possibly all seven games, and get the longest look possible. As Brandon said, the lineups for today's training camp sessions are out. There's still three groups here, but the game day group that will play tonight versus the Oilers, the goalies are Andre Pavlik and Michael Hutchinson. The defensemen are Paul Postma. Dustin Byfuglien gets his first preseason action. Josh Morrissey, Toby Enstrom, Jan Kostelec, and Julian Melchiori gets his second preseason game. The forwards are, once again, Brandon Tanev gets a third look in a preseason game. Adam Lowry draws back in for his second. Nick Batan, Quinton Howden, Chris Thorburn, Blake Wheeler, Patrick Laine, Joel Armia, Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Chase DeLeo, and Alex Burmistrov will be the team that hits the ice tonight versus the Oilers. Liney's first game, Blake Wheeler will be out there. Scheifele's back in. Chase DeLeo gets a second game. Nick Petan does as well. But Brandon Tanev gets his third preseason game, and I would presume it's because of his play going forward. Keep playing well, you're going to keep getting a shot or a look.
Yeah, he didn't jump off the ice last night the way he did in the first game, but just isolating him and watching him out there, he just looks real smart and sound defensively in all the zones, doing what he's supposed to do. And he's got enough speed that if he does make a mistake, he can make up for it. But positionally, I thought he was really sound and just seems really tuned in.
That's the lineup. We don't have the pairings, but I am very interested to see if they put Josh Morrissey with Dustin Byfuglien tonight.
He just might. Like, it could come. I mean, that would be a really interesting switch early on here,
and there's no reason why not. And it's not even like, I don't think it's can he handle it as far as the playing, like that helps him. Playing with Byfuglien tonight's going to help him. Playing with Tyler Myers last night helped him compared to the partner they had in the first. Like, give him that talent and see how he works with it. I thought he looked really comfortable last night with Tyler Myers. I would assume Dustin Byfuglien will make him that much more comfortable.
Well, you're not only looking at his game, you're looking at who he plays with and how he plays well. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that they put him with Dustin Byfuglien to have a look. So Billy Baldwin, the actor, is going to join us next, and then the Boston Pizza fan line is going to open. We have Jets and Oilers. What are your thoughts? We have the Eskimos and the Bombers. What are your thoughts on that? Boston Pizza fan line will be open a little past the 9 o'clock hour. Billy Baldwin's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
A little Tina on The Big Show today, TSN 1290 for sports and music. And get Tina and TSN 1290 on iHeartRadio. Music to suit any taste, or pick something that suits your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the free app today, iHeartRadio. It is The Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, an actor and just an all-around good guy back in town for the Bringing Hope to Life Celebrity Human Race, Mr. Billy Baldwin. How are you today?
I'm great. Great to be back here, guys. I feel like I'm becoming like a regular. In fact, I'm doing a radio show around the American election. I did some political commentary for CNN and for ABC Radio at both the Democratic and Republican conventions, and now ABC Radio has me doing sort of a show where I'm coming in and out every week between now and Election Day.
Real quick, can we get your take on the madness of what's going on?
First of all, it's such a boring election. How are you going to fill the time?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I know Donald Trump for many years. I don't know him well. I've been around him enough. I've done some charity work with him. My brother did The Celebrity Apprentice. My first scene in my first acting class was with Marla Maples while she was dating him before anybody knew. And I could tell you from experience, honestly, he's a complete buffoon. He's a complete buffoon.
Really?
But having said that, and he's not worthy of the office, he's not fit for the office, and he will not win. He will get taken to the woodshed on Election Day. He will be crushed in the Electoral College.
That's good to hear, man.
But I will say that there's three people voting for him right now, supporting him right now. People that can't tolerate or stomach the concept of voting either for a Clinton or an establishment inside the Beltway candidate. People that are really smart because The system is broken. It's been broken for 60 or 70 years. The founding fathers created a system in America of one man, one vote representative democracy that does not work and has not worked for decades. Special interests and corporations run the show. Americans know that. They've been on – smarter ones know that. They're onto it, and they want to blow up the system. They want to Brexit the system like in England.
Right.
And the third group is people that are not very smart. They're insanely and incredibly dumb. Mm-hmm. And they're buying into the fear-mongering and the race baiting and all the stuff that's going on. So it's weird. I was confused. In the beginning, I thought Donald Trump was good for it. I didn't think he would have legs. I thought he was the Hindenburg. I thought the whole thing was going to blow up. And here we are now. I blame the RNC, the Republican National Committee. They should have groomed somebody. They should have been able to see this coming. They should have been able to find – if you could take Warren Buffett and make him 45 years old and have him sort of shoot from the lip and have him be like a little bit politically incorrect like Donald Trump, you'd have a winner. That person would be 20 points ahead in the polls ahead of Hillary Clinton right now.
You know, it's really interesting because we here in Canada are watching this, and it's just like – and we're outsiders, of course, mm-hmm. and we don't know the intricate details. Some of us do, but what – like it's a bit of a gong show, and I'm wondering how
Americans – You've had your Lucien Bouchards and stuff like that with your secessionist movement years ago.
Yes.
So you've had your moments in time as well, but not quite as bad as – look, we didn't elect George Bush, and then we wound up legitimately re-electing him. So once the country was able to re-elect George Bush Jr., it's led to this. I think anything's possible, and I it's frustrating for me when people don't know how to vote in their own best interest, and people don't know they don't really follow what's going on around the world. You would say, you know, Prime Minister Perez passed away, and they would have no. I mean, we have a guy running for president. This guy Gary, the independent candidate, who. When they asked him about Aleppo, he didn't know what it was or where it was. And they asked him to name political leaders that he admired and respected, and he couldn't think of one. And he's running for president as an independent. So,
hey, Billy, the celebrity human race is always super popular and a big-time success. Who are some of your I was involved a little bit last year and met so many interesting people. Who's riding with shotgun with you this
year?
Well,
you know, I'm going to be drafted by a team. They have a draft party tonight. The team that raises the most money gets the number one draft pick. The Hollywood egos get bruised. Because there's 20 teams, and if you're not a draft pick in the first three or four or five, then all of a sudden people start drinking heavily. But we've got a great group of celebrities with us. Of course, myself, Heather Moise, two-time Olympic gold medalist in the bobsled, Jess McCallan from Mistresses, John O'Hurley from Seinfeld fame, Kevin Martin, my favorite, who's the Olympic curling champion. And Pooch Hall from Ray Donovan, Theo Fleury. I saw him play. I was a captain of a celebrity hockey game once, and he flipped his stick, hit the hockey puck up in the air, and smashed it like a baseball bat over the goalie's shoulder.
Yeah.
For a goal. I've never seen him do that. He probably done that in an NHL game, too, on a breakaway or something. But a lot of really great NHL legends. We've had Marty McSorley in the past and Brad May, and we're trying to get is it Brendan Lemieux? Is Claude's son, right? Yeah, I want to go try and see him tonight after the draft party. He's injured, correct?
He's injured. He's out. Yeah. He's week to week right now.
I heard he's a chip off the old block, and that's saying a lot.
I covered him last year with the Manitoba Moose. He came in at the end of his junior season, and I was like, is that Claude? Like, plays the same style, plays the
same
way.
I love this lot. I met a player at an AC/DC concert last year who his wife wanted to take a picture with me, and he said he played for the Anaheim Ducks. And I said, I just met Claude Lemieux. I said, he was the most awesome guy. We flew on a plane together. We become buddies. And he's like, oh, Claude, he was one of the greats. He's a great guy. He goes, I played against him many, many times. He goes, amazing guy. And he said, but as soon as he strapped on a helmet, he became a total retard.
People don't realize, unless they've been around you, how much you love sports, man.
Yeah, I'm a patron for the U.S. We talked about it last year. I think the U.S. Olympic freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling program. Those athletes are really actually not so distant cousins from hockey players when it comes to the discipline and the toughness and what's required. But see, I just want to get back to Health Science Center. We're here for the human race. It's sort of like a The Amazing Race meets the movie Cannonball Run. We have all these celebrities. We have all these teams. We have the draft party raising money for the crown jewel of the community, the Health Science Center, not only serving the Winnipeg urban area, but and it serves the province and beyond. And this is raising awareness and critical funds for the most important cause for providing world-class healthcare services to the entire region.
This is a, it's. I remember when this started a couple of years ago in the city, and now it's blossoming. This isn't an easy thing to pull off. How long have you guys been doing this? Does it get bigger and better? Because this isn't easy to do running around the city like this.
No, it is getting bigger and better. This is our fourth year. We want to continue to grow. It's tough in a sort of a medium sized city like this. We want to get to 20, 25, 30 teams. We want to start pulling down bigger and better numbers right. every year. To coordinate this, my good buddy who I'm here with actually today, Joel Hawk from Solutions with Impact, they're based out of Toronto. They are like the production company that okay. puts this all together and coordinates all of this from soup to nuts, all of the scavenger hunt, who's going to participate, how we're involved, the different, even down to writing all of the – you get bonus points for answering trivia questions that yeah. are regional to Winnipeg and also answering sort of riddles and stuff like that. And they put it together. It's very sophisticated. And by the way, I've been to – the market is saturated with all of these golf tournaments. They're saturated with all these dinners where you go there and you hear another speech on the rubber chicken circuit. This is really cool because it's innovative. It's outside of the box. It's raising money for a critical service being provided in the region. And it's a different, fun, a very fun, innovative way to do it.
I want to tip my hat to him too, man, because a lot of the celebrities, when they lend their names to some, it just sort of skim the surface of stuff. But you are completely invested in this and speak really well of everything going on, man.
I appreciate that. It's an important cause. Like I said, health science and we also do one for sick kids in Toronto. That's an international destination. I mean, there's people coming from Qatar and from Dubai and from all around right. the world if their child is dealing with a pediatric cancer issue. So I'm happy to, in my small way, my stock or my commodity is my celebrity. And if there's a way I could pay it forward and give back and be of service by doing what we're talking about right now, it's great. All these people that are coming in to do this, if I can help in any way, I'm happy to do it.
We're talking with Billy Baldwin about the Bringing Hope to Life celebrity human race here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, The Big Show. Can people take part if they haven't registered, or how did the draft party tonight and all that? That's always a
you had to do that to me. You had to do that to me. I'm gonna okay. We can go to
I've got the website up here. SCFhumanrace.com, where you can get all the information on that and how to, just in case people want to jump on board and
that's
get involved.
HSCF. I think that's for Health Science Center Foundation. Right. HSCFhumanrace.com. That's where you can donate for this year, and that's where you can communicate to coordinate for a team to join us next year. We only bring in enough celebrities for the amount of teams. Hopefully next year, we have 20 this year. Hopefully next year, we'll have 20. 4, 25, 26, and keep building this.
How are you liking your time in Winnipeg over the years?
I like it. After the draft party, I caught a Jets game last year. It was thrilling. I was only able to catch the third period. Tonight, I'm going to go hit the game again. I think, like you said, Edmonton.
Yeah, Oilers are in town.
Yeah, so we'll go check that out. But I'm really, no offense to you Jets fans, I'm really, really interested in checking out the new Human Rights Museum. Last year, I saw that going. I was driving around. I'm like, what is that? They said, that's the new Human Rights Museum. That building was spectacular, incredibly impressive. Again, another way in which Winnipeg is kind of taking it to the next level, in terms of art, culture, sports. You got the Jets back. You got the Human Rights Museum. A lot of stuff going on here in town. Very cool, very cultural, very sophisticated. Very, very Cosmo, as they would say in New York.
You're still acting and got a bunch of projects on the go coming out. And also let people know where they can hear you on the radio about this election. I think it'll be fascinating.
Yeah, it's KABC Radio out of Los Angeles. I've done one show, and they're gearing up to have me come in and do another one next week when I'm in town. And I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be cool. I studied political science, and then I interned on the Hill, and then I wound up becoming involved and active on the boards of various political organizations, and I ran one for 5 years called the Creative Coalition. And when I did that, I was like a kid in a candy box. I get to a candy store. I got to be on, Chris Matthews and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Bill Maher and Politically Incorrect and Crossfire, and they would ask me to be on those shows. When I was running that organization, they were asking me to be on those shows almost every week. I testified in the House of Representatives. I testified in the Senate. It was really cool. That would happen to be a political organization that was comprised of show business professionals. So it was a lot of writers, actors, directors, people on the other side of the camera. But I had 40, 50 on-camera celebrities that were pretty big. We had Robin Williams, my brother Alec, Christopher Reeve, Susan Sarandon, Ron Silver, you know, over the hood.
Right.
And a lot of people that are very, very – I mean, Susan Sarandon, please. She, it doesn't get more politically committed and politically – you may not like her for her politics, but I don't care. I admire her. And I agree with her on a lot of political issues, almost all of them. I just saw her at the Democrat. I was at both conventions. I've been at both the conventions since 1988. I've gone to the RNC and the DNC since 1988.
Good for you. Yeah, very active. Modern day Renaissance man, Billy Baldwin, here with us, of course, in town for the Bringing Hope to Life Celebrity Human Race. All the information, once again, hscfhumanrace.com. Great meeting you, and I hope to see you again next year. Enjoy your time here.
Thanks for having me. And if you're listening, please go to that website. It's your community. It's your hospital, and it's going to be providing the health services for you, your children, your grandchildren. So we'd love for you to support us.
Excellent
awesome stuff.
Thanks, guys. Big show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. The Boston Pizza fan line is now open. Jets hosting the Oilers. Bombers hosting the Eskimos. Anything and everything on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. It is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. And it'll all kick off with Hustler and Lawless live from Boston Pizza City Place at 3 o'clock. Then the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show with Mr. Rick Ralph at 6. And followed by the Huron Windows postgame show. Darren Bombing, Troy Westwood, Manuk Denture Bomber pregame show will be a part of that as well. So we'll tee you up for both games tonight as we have Clean Line Winnipeg Jets hockey on the station, TSN 1290, as the Oilers are here to take on the Jets. Patrick Laine will debut tonight. Kyle Connor will get a second look, and the goaltenders will be Andre Pavlik and Michael Hutchinson. Boston Pizza fan line wide open, everybody, on this Friday, 780-1290. Bud, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Yeah, the game last night, Canada versus Euro, the old Canada performance, that truly made me take a knee and put my hands over my ears. Holy crow, was that a bad performance? The other thing is Price, in the third period, he must have been saying to himself at 1-0 down, oh, that hack, why is he showing me up again? That must have been tough on Price. It must have been one of those Halak moments again. Halak almost pulled it off. The other thing, Maurice is going to have a difficult task trying to figure out the Jets lineup. They've got so much surplus young talent. Where are they going to hide it? And the last thing, question for you guys, Pavlik, would they be able to put him on waivers? Somebody picks him up so they lose the burden of the contract, which is a bonus. They lose an experienced goalie. On the other hand, if nobody picks him up, he'd make a great first-string Moose goalie and maybe lead them to a cup. And go Bombers, go. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bud. We appreciate it. That was one of the interesting sidebars when everybody thought Canada would cakewalk over Team Europe, was looking for storylines. It was the Halak versus Price once again, as the Montreal Canadiens chose Price and traded Halak out of Montreal despite that playoff run he went on. So that was one of the interesting sidebars, I'm sure, that they were watching. And they said that if Europe was going to upset in any of the games in that final, it was going to be Halak who would have to steal it, as Troy was pointing out this week. As for Pavlik on waivers, I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, he could, but I don't. They just simply like the experience. They want experience, and whether he's a starter or the backup, they want to have somebody that has a couple more games under their belt. He's in his last year of his contract. I mean, if he plays well this year, it's just going to help the team, not only in the win column, but also, you know, I think going forward as potential trade in February, March, however they want to handle that. And then if he doesn't, they just want to have an experienced backup for whoever does take the number one job, if it is Hellebuck.
Yeah, they're not. I just don't see them sending $4.7 million, which is what his salary is this year. That's not going to be playing for the Moose this year. There's, I believe, zero chance of that. Equally as close to zero would be somebody picking him up if they put him through waivers for that. It just, he's going to be here, and this will be his final season with the Winnipeg Jets.
Jets and Oilers tonight on Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day. Your impressions of last night's 4-1 win over the Minnesota Wild, and what are you expecting tonight as Kyle Connor gets a second look and Patrick Laine gets his first? Hutchinson and Pavlik are the goalies. Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Norm, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead. Oh, Norm, we got some bad cell issues. We'll try you again. Are you there? Yeah, sorry, Norm, you're not coming through, so we'll let you go and maybe have you dial back in if you can. Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. The other lineup here for the Jets on the blue line, as we saw, include Josh Morrissey getting another look, and Dustin Byfuglien's going to play tonight. I'm real interested to see if he's paired with Josh Morrissey.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was. It was cheering for Josh Morrissey just to go forward. If he plays at the same level that he did last night going forward, he's gonna have a chance here to make some noise. And really, really sort of like if it just happens to be that he plays at a real high level, looks comfortable, gets settled in, and can, you know, maybe they slot him in that second spot with Myers, put Enstrom, Byfuglien together, have Morrissey and Myers, something along those lines, and just see how he responds to it. If he were ever this year to be able to fill that gap, and it would be a stretch to think that he could, I think, but if he could, boy, would that ever be a coup for the Winnipeg Jets with the situation with Trouba.
Boston Pizza fan line on the Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, 780-1290. Yannick, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Fantastic show as per usual.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I've been doing a little digging with this right shot playing on left business because I'm a big Hab fan. However, I fully support what the Jets are doing right now as an organization in terms of draft and develop. But the reason I did a little digging is because apparently Therrien has been throwing the idea around of getting right shot Petrie, experimenting on the left side to maybe play with Weber to start the season. So roughly, no more than 35% of NHL defensemen are right shots. You've often seen, because of the numbers, left shot D having to go to the right side. Some have done it rather successfully, such as Bomeister. Mark Streit comes to mind, too, with, you know, some degree of success. You'll also see often left shot D playing the right, second or third pairing, when a guy generally is being asked, you know, to log 12, 15 minutes, and generally you're not playing, you know, you're playing against the third, fourth line, that type of situation. But now what the Jets are, like, if I'm to believe that they're legitimately thinking of playing a right shot guy on the left, which I see almost zero evidence of in the NHL, you're asking Trouba to play 24 to 27 on his offside every single night against the opposition's best line and players. If I'm Trouba, and especially if I'm Oberhart, I'm not advising my agent to do this. I mean, I just think it's an unreasonable request by the Jets, which leads me to believe that ultimately this is simply about them wanting to move a right young right shot D for a young left shot top pairing D. And in Cheveldayoff's case, the numbers are good here. I mean, clearly right shot Ds are way more coveted than left, so this trade might take time, but you got to think he should be able to pull it off.
Well, it really depends on who you want back and at what level, and they clearly want a first-line left shot D guy back, and those just aren't, you know, a top line. You may get a top four, maybe top five one back, but
agreed. Yep.
You know, it's just the fact of finding one and then one that teams are willing to give up on and bring in another guy and sort of base it around that guy on their top pair. So that's what it just sort of where it gets really narrow, I think, on the possibilities.
And they've made it clear, or at least all the word is, right, that they will play. You're not going to bully Kevin Cheveldayoff here. So however much patience it takes either to get Jacob Trouba back in the fold here or to get back equal value. I know dang well he's going to take that time.
We appreciate the call, Yannick. We got to go take a break. More of your phone calls coming up on The Big Show. The Boss of Pizza fan line, 780-1290, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
iHeartRadio is here, TSN 1290 for sports and music to suit any taste or pick something that suits your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the free app today of iHeartRadio, your one-stop shop for all your radio needs, including us here at TSN 1290. Download the free app. The Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Boston Pizza fan line is open, 780-1290. And we are welcoming Jeff into the program. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Just wanted to touch on the previous caller there with Chevy maybe holding out for left-handed D for Trouba.
Sure.
It's quite easy for me. I would be doing everything and anything to get Lindholm from the Ducks for Trouba. One for one.
There's no way they're sending them one.
Yeah,
for
the
one
Ducks night. And that's the issue that we've talked about, whether you're talking Torrey Krug in Boston or Lindholm in Anaheim. It's not so much that the Jets wouldn't want those guys. It's that those organizations don't. Like, every team is trying to strengthen themselves. So, like, Anaheim would love to keep Lindholm and add Trouba. Yeah. Boston would love to keep Torrey Krug and add Trouba. And that's the issue with the Jets, too. They don't want to let him go and not bring another D like that back. And the problem, I'm not harping on Jacob Trouba. If this is his decision, fair enough. I think he could play the left side. I think he's that good of a player and going forward. But the problem is if you're Anaheim, like, are you going to give up your key left-handed D guy for somebody else's and sort of the devil that you don't know for the guy that you do know? And then the aspect that, you know, there, let's be honest, there's a tarnish on Jacob Trouba for doing this concerning other organizations. It's not that you wouldn't still want him, but you're sort of bringing in a guy who clearly is holding out and wants out of an organization. So to base, like, if you're Anaheim and you've drafted Lindholm and you've had him all this time and you've developed around him, to give him up for another guy you don't know who's holding out, it just... Again, I think that they want to keep – Lindholm's not available, apparently, but they also want to add to it, not sort of give one for one.
Yeah. I'm just concerned because – I'm just wondering because, I mean, I know the Ducks are up against the cap too because, I mean, they committed a lot of dollars to Vatanen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was just – even if there's a way to sweeten the pot because, I mean, clearly Trouba does not want to be here. I phoned in a couple days ago, and that whole right-handed shot versus left-handed shot is complete BS to me. He just wants out.
Yeah, I think he wants out too. If it wasn't that adamant about getting out, he could sign a deal, ask for a trade, and wait for it to happen. In my mind. Anyways, Jeff, we appreciate the call on The Big Show, 780-1290, the Boston Pizza fan line. More of your calls, and of course, you can tweet at us, at Jim Toth Sports, at Troy Westwood, and at Brandon_Rewicki. And we're getting some tweets on this, too. Dave is pointing out that lots of Jets 1.0 play D on the offside all the time. Corey points out, and I think it's valid, too, stats about a right-handed defenseman never playing left side only confirms that if Trouba could do it, he would be more valuable in his career going forward.
But you have to remember, like, this there's all kinds of stats and all kinds of things that you can take into consideration, but ultimately, and we don't know for sure how comfortable he is, but when you're talking about playing against the very best players in the world and you're making the jump from your strong side to your weak side, there's going to be a percentage drop in the level of comfort, and only that player knows how comfortable he or she is in making that jump. Some players can do it. Some players, some D-men you never see do it. So, you know, nobody thinks that's the only reason, but I think it is a factor in him not – part of it in him not being happy here, but certainly by all indications also he just wants out of here.
You feel it's a valid reason, though. Like, you feel –
I know damn well
it's a valid
situation,
reason. It's being underscored, the fact that this is – like, people are just blowing it off when it is an actual
– Absolutely.
I just think he's good enough that he could do it.
But how can you say that? You don't know. Like, it's all a matter of how comfortable
he
is.
Well, I've seen him play the left side a couple times, and he's done well.
Yeah, we've seen him play it.
So I think if – and again, I hearken back to Paul Maurice isn't dumb. Like, he's a good hockey coach, and I think he can see that this is capable, and he saw what he can do and thinks that if there is a guy that can do it, it's Jacob Trouba, and that's why they're probably doing this. A, it helps the team. It makes the team better. I get that. And that's why they're, you know, sort of doing this. But I don't think they'd be asking him to do it if they didn't think it wouldn't work. If they thought he would go there and it would be a disaster.
Well, of course, they wouldn't ask then, yeah.
And if even if they did and it didn't work, I think they would figure something else out. Go, look, after 20 games, this is awful. We got to bring in a left-hand D. We got to make some trades. We got to put Jacob back on the right.
Well, yeah. And but that's not a good thing for any player. Oh, look, it's awful. We're going like confidence and all the rest of it, right? And I think at first last year they had him on the left side, and he did lose some confidence a little bit early on when they tried to make that move early. You see that? I think it was Bogo as well. They tried that where they tried switching sides, and you see some guys lose confidence from it. Ultimately, only the player knows how confident and comfortable he or she is on their weak side.
I do get, though, like it's you do it and you feel like out of place, and you feel like you
it's
said Bogosian.
Opposite,
and it's, like Bogosian used to say that. He said, "I don't mind, I'll do it," but he said, "I definitely feel a little out of my element over there."
Yeah, you're damn right. Like it's simple. It's just body position. Everything is opposite from what you've done basically your entire playing career.
Boston Pizza fan line 780-1290 on the Big Show TSN 1290 TSN1290.ca. Steve, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just it seems to me that one of the figures that's important, this whole Trouba thing, you know, is Andrew Ladd. You know, he kind of showed the way that if you don't want to play in Winnipeg, you ask for something that you know the team won't give, and you've got your freedom. And that's kind of scary, really, because Winnipeg is not a place that people are eager to play in. And add to that the fact that when people sign these contracts, these players sign the contracts, they indicate what team they might like to be traded to if they ever got traded, and Winnipeg is not ever on that list. And so, I don't know, there's something almost discriminatory about that whole system. I'm not sure if it's illegal, I suppose it's not, but I think the league should look into that because that kind of puts a real hardship on somebody like Chipman who runs this club.
Well, I agree. And I think that's a massive factor in getting players, you know, signed or traded or free agency. But there's not much you can do about Winnipeg being Winnipeg. Like, you can't approach the league about anything. Do you want them to bring in some palm trees? Or?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. And I don't, like, there's not everything
is what it
appears on the surface, though, right? So when you have certain people who aren't coming back to Winnipeg, sometimes there's other factors at play as to why guys aren't here.
Here's the one thing I will say about Winnipeg is when the players come here, they mostly re-sign. Like Matthew Perreault and Blake Wheeler and guys, Mark Scheifele. Like, there are guys who come, once they're here, it's great. And Perreault's a prime example because he's one of the few free agents they were allowed to convince to come in. And they convinced him to come in because, you know, he said that the day he signed that Paul Maurice worked hard on this. Like, he called me three or four times and was telling me what they want to do with me and where they want. So he saw not only the money, the $9 million over 3 years, but he also saw the opportunity to expand his career from a third liner to some potential power play and all that. So it was a great fit that way. But trying to convince free agents to come here is such a difficult time, especially when they have options. But once guys do come here, they generally like it. But having said that, I can also see why a 22-year-old American Jacob Trouba would want out of Winnipeg. And I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that there are some guys that don't want to play here and want to go back to the States and be in a bigger city.
Yeah, there are big-town guys, small-town guys. Some people like how sort of quaint and quiet it is here, right? If you got family, then the wife and the kids play a big part of the factor. There's all kinds of things that come into play.
Boston Pizza fan line 780-1290 on the Big Show TSN 1290. David, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. You?
Really good. First time caller, long time listener.
We appreciate it.
Hey, I got an analogy for you with this Trouba situation. It's kind of like a shotgun wedding, you know. And if he would have gone with it, I've seen a lot of shotgun weddings that have turned out really good and turned into really good marriages. I mean, it's like forcing the guy into it, but, you know, I think if he would have went with it, I think he would have been great at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he could pull this off. And I always hearken back to, you know, you can debate it and how tough it is, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But I don't think they would they're not asking Tyler Myers to do it. They're asking Jacob Trubin. That's not a knock on Tyler Myers. I'm just saying that I think they're asking him to do it because they honestly feel he could.
Well, I think this is an amazing opportunity for Morrissey. He's beginning his career. Put him on the left side with Bufflin. Huge learning curve, but what a great guy to learn it beside. And it's going to just launch his career into the stratosphere, I think.
Well, his career will get launched into the stratosphere if he ends up getting traded and landing in a 1-2 pairing at some other team as well, right? Like, we need to understand that his agent has a track record, and his track record is pretty successful when he's played this card in the past. So, and this isn't, right, this isn't just Kurt Overhart. This is a team effort here led by Jacob Trouba, who has hired an agent with a specific past. And this is a calculated venture that they're going out on here to get out of here.
Well, what do you think about the opportunity for Morrissey, though? I think this is going to launch his career, I mean, into the stratosphere. Put him beside Buff. It's going to take him a while, but wow, I think he's got huge potential. And if anybody's got the skill set or the mindset to do it, he does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in Jacob Trouba, Josh Morrissey. I don't know if he's there yet. We're finding that out in the preseason. And I don't know if it's top pairing right away, but I definitely think he's got a bright future, whether it's now or not. But your point of the opportunity being closer now because of the situation is definitely there for Josh Morrissey. David, we appreciate the call. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. The Big Show on TSN 1290. Randy, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Oh, hey. A couple of things. First of all, about playing in Winnipeg. If Winnipeg had a winner, okay, people would be beating down the doors to play on this team. And we haven't had that opportunity for years. Jets 1.0, and in the last 5 years, we've been beaten like a drum. So as far as attracting players, they want to play meaningful minutes. And as far as Jacob Trouba is concerned, I sort of agree with him in the fact that he is a talent, okay, and the idea is his whole career is resting on the money he's going to make this contract and for sure the next contract. So if he can play on another team, play where he's and excel as a right winger, why should he go and play left wing? So that's it, guys. I'd like to hear your comments. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Randy. We appreciate it on the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. And we're hearing more and more of this the past 2 days. And it's a legitimate, you know, people, we've heard a ton of people that side with the Jets on this. And more people are, there is that, you know, side of it that Jacob Trouba has a point. I am, you know, I believe in myself. You think I'm a top two pairing. I wanted to think that the best part for my career is on the right side. And there's no opportunity for me here. We're hearing more and more of that as this sort of debate continues throughout the week.
And I can, you know, I think he probably understands the whole Dustin Bufflin thing and signs a long-term deal. If I'm Jacob Trouba, if I'm his parent, if I'm in any part of his circle, the move that would have upset me is trading for Myers. And I know Bogo was here, but who doubts that Trouba would have played or been placed in front of Bogo at some point, or something would have happened there. I just, if you feel Jacob Trouba would, that he's better than Tyler Myers, he was drafted in the first round by this organization, and then in a second year, they trade for someone, and bam, the guy parachutes in front. Whether or not Tyler Myers is better or not than Trouba, you know, Trouba's camp, and himself included, will think that that's where he should be sitting at the very least. I understand that problem being a problem for his camp.
And as for the winning, I agree with that. It's much easier to sign, even in Winnipeg free agents, if you're winning, and not just winning, but contending for a Stanley Cup. And I remember when the Moose were here, and the fever for the Jets potentially returning, or the Atlanta Thrashers or Phoenix coming in here,
was gaining speed. Then Moose head coach and former Jets head coach Claude Noel was there. And I remember after a practice, we were just talking, and I said, how hard would it be to get players to come here and stuff? He goes, well, the key is it doesn't matter about anything. The weather, nothing, overpaying, everything. The key is building a winner. And he said, with all due respect, have you ever been to Detroit? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And he goes, it's, you know, not the greatest city. The weather's not great. It's not, you know, the most happening place to be.
Yeah.
However, he said, players take pay cuts to go there and play for the Red Wings because they're the Red Wings and they know that they're going to have a chance year in, year out.
Doesn't matter what sport you're talking
about,
right?
And he said that's the key for Winnipeg. And that's why, you know, I think it's forgotten in this long process of draft and development and not getting in the playoffs but wanting to stay in the playoffs, and they got in and then they're not. That whole process, I believe that that's the True North sports entertainment philosophy is it's taking a long time. But they want to develop that. And, hey, Detroit's an original six team. It doesn't happen overnight. But that whole philosophy of, you know, weather, smaller city, not a lot of action going on, horrible winters, goes to the wayside. If you can get that winning element of contending year in and year out, players want to win, especially in the NHL. I know the NBA and the NFL are different where it's about more the money, but players want to win. So, especially in hockey. So, if you can get that philosophy, I believe, you know, he had a point that, you know, if you win and can not just win, but contend year in, year out, if you get to that point, it'll be much easier to sign players. Boston Pizza Fan Line 780-1290. We're going to take a quick break. Jerry, hang on the line. We'll get to you next on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca. The Oilers are in town to take on the Winnipeg Jets. Husser and Lawless kick off our game day coverage live at Boston Pizza City Place at 3 o'clock. The Manitoba Building Trades pregame show with Rick Ralph at 6, followed by the Huron Windows postgame show right after. Paul Edmonds will have the call, of course, right here on TSN 1290. Boston Pizza fan lines wide open, 780-1290, taking more of your calls. Jerry, you're on the program. Go ahead. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. I've called a few times. I have another idea, though, for a left-handed or left-side defenseman. Instead of just taking a right-handed shot defenseman and putting him over there, I played a little hockey myself, although majority of the time I played goaltender. I eat with my left, I kick with my left, I write with my left, I catch with my right and throw with my left.
Me but too, man. Hockey, all that. Me too.
Hockey and baseball, I shoot right.
Yeah, me too.
So if you find a left-handed person that shoots right, they'd have less of a problem adapting to the left side than a completely right-handed person.
Very true. It's all about finding somebody who can do it.
I'm not sure why that would be.
Yeah.
Because either way, if you shoot right, your dominant hand is at the top of your stick, right? So it's all about, to me, when a guy's coming in on you, it's so much easier to turn outside and be strong in absorbing a man, and if you're on your left side, it's a different deal with your blade behind you. It's just, it's different.
I'm the same way, too. I'm right-handed. I write right. I shoot a basketball right. I kick a soccer ball right. But I shoot hockey left. I bat left, and I golf left.
That's the way it's supposed to be, though.
Brother, is it? Because my older brother's left-handed, and I think that's why I picked it up that way.
Left-handed, and I shoot, for instance, in golf right. Well, which is your power hand in golf? And same with hockey. It's your hand up high on the stick.
I don't have a power anything in golf. I have a power putt. That's what I'm good at. Like that guy at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I can do
that.
You're
kind of just
smoking
it in there?
But I never hit the cup. Yeah. No. But I never hit the cup.
Just burn the heck out of the edges.
Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Rob, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead.
How you doing this morning, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good. Just a couple of callers ago, a guy commented on Trouba, and the comment that Troy, I was kind of surprised to hear you say, being an ex-professional athlete, when you've got a guy that is talking
about his camp, and you said, Troy, that his camp would be upset that they would bring in Myers, and Myers would overtake Trouba, and they'd play him ahead of Trouba. Is this a guy that you really want to have on your team? This is all about me. If it's Trouba that is saying this, or his camp is saying this, do you think you can win with a guy that when he says it's about me, and this is what I want, and you want to have this guy on your team? I was surprised that you said something like that, Troy.
Well, that's just what I think. That's the way I think his camp feels about it. When you're trying to look at, why would he feel slighted at all by the organization? I think there's a possibility that's one of the reasons. I'm not saying that I would feel that way.
You think it's his camp, or do you think it's him?
Well, when I say his camp, I mean that embodies he and his camp. Circle. Yeah.
So I think if by the way, when you say his camp, you mean by his people, his agents, his parents.
Yeah. Everybody,
himself being different, and if this is his attitude as well, then as far as I'm concerned, sit him, get rid of him, ship him out, do whatever, because you're not going to win with a guy like that. That it's about him. You're never going to win with him. So that's my feeling. Mm-hmm.
Rob, we appreciate the call, and that's sort of the sentiment I get too. Like, it's just surprising to me that a 22-year-old defenseman, albeit not playing the position he wants, the Myers trade, whatever, you're unhappy. It's just a 22 compared to a 26-year-old Tyler Myers, and you don't want to come in and just basically – and it might take 40 games of playing better, so the patience involved in that and the evolution I get, but how you don't want to come in and just earn the job is weird. And a lot of people say he has earned it now and should be getting it, but – then come back again and play harder and get better and earn it. Win the job.
But JT, how is he going to earn the job when in his exit interview he was told he'd be on the top pairing on the left side of Bufflin? How is he going to earn a spot on the right side?
I want to play on the right. And they go, well, we don't have a spot for you. And he goes, well, okay, I'll come to camp and I'll do this. But then become a better player on the left and develop that side of it. There's an aspect of this that is weird to me.
Oh, me too.
Having
man.
Been around Jacob Trouba a bit, that he just wants an easy out, like get me out of here, mm-hmm. as opposed to I'm not happy, but I'm gonna. Even the whole fact of not being happy, I just saw Jacob Trouba as more as a Dustin Bufflin. I don't want to play forward. I don't want to, but I'll do it. Do you like playing forward? No, I don't. But it is what it is. Like, I just saw Jacob Trouba as that kind of a guy, not a guy who's like, if I can't play where I think I should be, I'm out.
But also, we have to, like, it seems like we get lost sometimes in really swimming around in this left-right thing. We can't put it in that vacuum without the understanding that it seems, by all indication, that he also wants out, right? And this is what they're presenting to the public for us to digest.
Mean. Like, the whole aspect of I just want out is how I'm going to solve this. Mm-hmm. It catches me by a little bit of a surprise. I want to remind everybody, TSN 1290 is an iHeart radio station. By all means, it's a brand new way to listen to your favorite radio stations, including TSN 1290, a revolution in music listening with over 210 channels of music. Absolutely free. Download the free app today. And, of course, the Jets and the Oilers live right here on TSN 1290. Pregame starts with Hustler and Lawless at 3. Also, the Bombers and Eskimos are at IGF tonight. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Our next caller on the Boston Pizza fan line at 780-1290 will get you to the Eskimos and Bombers battle. That's it for us this week. We appreciate all the involvement, the tweets, the calls, and you listening. For Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and Jim Toth, have a great weekend, everybody. The Big Show will be back on Monday morning on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.